knowledge fight. And Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes. Like to sit around, worship at the altar of Selene, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
My bright spot today is I have historically tried to, or I generally have listened to podcasts on Stitcher.
Sure.
As I have mentioned in the past.
Yes.
And, you know, it was commercial free on these here shows.
Sure. That was your jam.
And I've had to make the shift over to podcasts with commercials.
Oof.
And I have to say, we made a decision when we were doing this show that we'd never have ads and all that. What?
Wrongly. But
from a financial perspective, incredibly wrongly. Real big waste on our part. A lot of missed opportunity.
Huge mistake. Way, way terrible idea.
But from continue. The standpoint of somebody who likes podcasts and listens to podcasts, I listen to it and I'm like, I could not handle the idea that the thing that I make is being randomly interrupted by this shit. Anyway, my bright spot is they're usually these brands of, like, you know, MeUndies or whatever.
Sure,
you know,
sure. There's the podcast hits. Yeah.
And they're things that seem like a lot of the time they're stuff that's like, this is our main advertising strategy.
Right.
We're just going to funnel money into this.
Right.
I don't know what the fuck is going on, but I've heard multiple ad reads by the hosts of podcasts for Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
What?
Who needs to advertise Reese's Peanut Butter Cups?
Wait, who has forgotten?
Right.
What new generation is unaware?
Right. It's so bizarre. Like,
that's wasteful.
It's weird enough that they have, like, those commercials with, like, Will Arnett talking. Ooh, that's who you ought to take a bite out. But, to have a podcast and have the host do, like, a live read of, like, you know what? If you're looking for candy, Reese's Peanut Butter Cup is a good option.
That's fucking so disgusting. Stupid. There should have to be a rule that if everybody already knows about your product, your advertising budget has to go to, like, feeding people.
It should.
That's the, like, everybody, like, if an Oreo advertises, fuck you, get the fuck out of here, but you're Oreo.
But it makes me wonder if Zoomers have lost touch with the peanut butter cup.
They have not.
No?
I defy a zillennial to not eat a fucking Reese's peanut
butter cup. I feel like the Zoomers are into the Take Five. They like a more complicated candy.
That is my new favorite. Zoomers are into the Take Five. That's what they are. That's what the kids are at. That's where they are now.
I'll be honest. I like a Take Five. But I just thought, I the first time that I heard it, I was like, well, that's weird.
Yeah.
And then the second show that I heard it, I'm like, why are they doing this?
What are they doing?
It's very stupid.
What exec was at that place going like, oh, here's what we do. We need to boost sales.
Old man Reese's.
We gotta
tap a new market.
It does feel like somebody finally tapped an old man's shoulder and was like, hey, man, did you know that podcasts are happening? Radio whenever you want.
If there weren't those, like, commercials with Will Arnett that are on TV, I would think, like, well, they just had to scale back their budget. And, like, this is trying to make the best of a bad situation.
Part of a whole package.
It's integrated.
Yeah.
Top down.
Oof,
anyway, what's your bright spot?
My bright spot is I recently got to hang out with my friend Matt Elfring.
Ooh.
Old-time Chicago buddy did his show, I Just Want to Talk to Friends, which, luckily, I am the titular in that episode. So we talked. What wound up happening, wind up just doing a lot of catching up on the shit, you know? Oh, remember the old days.
References to various shows
stuff.
You did
together. If you're looking for, like, information, don't go there.
No.
But if you're looking for having a good time, that's what we were there
just
for.
Having a bro down just, about suburban comedy.
Just suburban
from 10
comedy from 10 years ago.
Oh, like, remember that open mic?
No, because here's what I was thinking about. Because I was listening to What Had Happened Was, right? So Open Mic Eagle and Questlove are talking about that, you know, like 96 to 2000 era. Like, that's when that shit's popping up, you know.
Sure,
like,
sure.
D'Angelo, you got Voodoo, you got, Erykah Badu is winning, you know, like that. It was like that, but in suburban comedy.
Right. Talking about various open mics and names of people that even folks who did Chicago comedy don't know.
Hey, remember that time Kyle Kinane was there? That's the tenor of most suburban comedy stories.
I thought you were going to say Kyle Paris.
No. Oh, no. Those are different stories.
Those are
different stories.
So, go ahead.
Yeah, but it was a really enjoyable time.
That's wonderful.
Yes.
So, Jordan, today we have an episode to go over, and we're a little bit late on this upload, and that's because there was a little bit of a turnabout yesterday.
Yes.
We're recording this in the morning-ish of Friday, and it's because last night, Tucker Carlson, the most important man in the world, released an interview with Alex Jones. And man. I mean, I knew it was coming eventually.
Sure,
because Alex did say that one of his work vacations was to Maine to visit Tucker.
Right.
And so you would have to be kind of foolish to not think, like, they recorded something.
No, they didn't make any content. They forgot.
It's either made up or they did a video of some kind.
Right.
So my instinct was that it was a matter of time before we saw this. But it's still a bummer to see it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bummer all around. It sucks for the world because it's just Alex getting more promotion, which sucks. It sucks for Tucker because he's really debasing himself.
Yeah.
In incredibly embarrassing ways.
Oh, that's not good.
And it's bad for us because, quite frankly, as we go through the interview, almost all of it is stuff we've already talked about before. Like, almost all of it is kind of Alex just trying to present himself in a good light.
Yeah.
And it's not as exciting as, like, here's what I would put. This is a PR opportunity for Alex.
Sure.
In the same way that going on Rogan is a PR opportunity for him.
Right.
It's the chance to show himself to a wider audience, and Tucker's audience is full of weirdo crypto racists who are mostly fairly boring.
Already predisposed to liking Alex.
Sure, sure, but they're mostly kind of boring.
Yes.
And so that's the kind of interview you're going to get. Whereas on Rogan, you got a bunch of psychonauts and druggies and weirdos.
There is that.
Who listen to his show. And so Alex comes in chugging whiskey and being really exciting and having a showmanship to him. Whereas in this, he might as well be half asleep, quite frankly.
Brutal.
So it's not the most electrifying interview ever, but that's not to say there aren't things worth discussing. So we are going to do that here today.
Yeah. I wish that sometimes in life this would be the moment where people like Alex and Tucker would be in Maine. And then, like, you know, just like a discus, some sort of, like, a Greek mythological event hits them and it's just like, fishing show. And then they just go and they record a fishing show out back, you know?
Well, you remember,
that makes sense to me.
Well, you remember when Alex was trying to pull the Alex Jones Live shit? He had all these, like, ideas for shows.
Right? You're out there.
Get the painting show going. You and Tucker painting.
In Maine!
Yes.
That's where you do it!
Right.
The outdoors is your canvas!
Yeah, do a painting show.
Yeah, come on.
Sit around the fireplace.
It's all
what
there.
The fuck ever. Do something.
Get out of whatever life we all live in and do one of your frontier things, you know?
As far as I'm concerned, there's literally only one exciting thing that happens in the hour and a half that they're recording, and it's forced.
Amazing.
Alex has brought a bottle of the whiskey that he sells.
Sure.
He sells whiskey. We haven't really talked about that much. He has a brand of whiskey that he sells.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense, though.
Yeah.
Like,
it doesn't come up all that much in his coverage.
Peyton Manning has a brand of whiskey. Who gives a shit? Everybody
Celebrity booze
Yeah, everybody has a brand of whiskey.
So he brought it, and it's like in a gun case for, like, traveling.
All right.
And he can't get it open, so he has to use a hatchet to open up the gun case.
And it's forced.
It does feel a little bit forced.
Man.
But that's the only exciting thing that happens, quite frankly. The rest of it is just two idiots talking shit.
That's so stupid.
Yeah.
And I bet they screwed up that bit, too, because the bit is good. as long as you do it with your wide open face, just like, oh, you don't even try, like, don't even try and open the case at all. Just like, ah, oh no, this case won't open. Giant hatchet appears out of nowhere. I guess I gotta do it. You know, mm-hmm. like, make it telegraph that it's a bit.
Well, I think that Tucker's producers produced it better than InfoWars would have.
No, that's fair.
I'll say that.
Okay.
But, yeah, it still leaves something to be desired.
Brutal.
Anyway, we'll get down to business on this, but first, Jordan, let's say hello to some new wonks.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
So first, JB, I'm on Knowledge Fight. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, I first became a policy wonk on episode number 620, and I liked it so nice I became a wonk twice. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, the blood of my enemies tastes like a West Coast IPA. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, happy birthday to my favorite turd, Austin. You're so dumb. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
And thank you so much to Mike L. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we got a technocrat in the mix, Jordan. So thank you so much to Roaming Rebecca. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you very much.
So the interview itself starts with a shot of Tucker and Alex out in front of an outhouse. Outside.
All right.
And they're just like, hey, this is the most dangerous man in America. It doesn't seem so bad. Weep.
Uh-huh.
And then it goes inside. There's a little sting, a little cold open.
Oh.
I didn't include a clip of that because it was meaningless.
So, like, media literacy-wise, that would be, like, the shot is to imply that Alex and Tucker are shitty.
I mean, you could bring all sorts of layers of analysis to it. Yeah. I think you're supposed to look at them as outdoorsy and, like, maybe they just went hunting or something like that.
Okay. All right.
But whatever the case, we start off with Tucker giving a little bit of a preamble before he introduces Alex.
Sounds good.
We have a ruling class in the United States defined by its hatreds, not its loves, not its hopes, but by its hatreds. They hate all kinds of people, large groups of people, the deplorables, the bitter clingers, America's entire blue-collar population, the unfashionable people. They're hated by the people who run our country. But no one is hated more by them than a man called Alex Jones.
No one!
That was over the top.
The ruling class of the United States is not defined by their hatreds, and I have no idea what that would even mean. That's just a bizarre sentence.
Yeah, that is a very bizarre sentence.
In Tucker's mouth, what he's trying to say is that the man hates white people, but the way he's phrasing it just comes out confusing. That's really the subtext of what he's saying. If you don't imagine that he's speaking in some kind of cryptic code, what could he possibly mean? This is the point he's starting off the video with, and it's bewildering.
Like, okay, so they're defined by their hatreds,
right.
Not their loves.
Or their dreams.
Or their dreams, or I suppose the type of hot sauce they use. I don't get quite where that would be like, you know, like, oh, a person who hates to lose more than they want to win. That kind of concept, you know?
Sure.
But that doesn't apply to this idea of who of your def of what's defining you.
No, and that's why it's confusing.
Yeah, it's very confusing.
Yeah, because he's trying to be oblique about his racism.
Why is it that every time we interact with Tucker, there is at least 15 different like minor writing things? Like, there's a writing instructor's job that's available.
But think about this: at the end, he says a man called Alex Jones. Is he British now? What is this? Yeah, there's all of these layers of just bizarre nonsense. Ugh. So anyway, Alex is really censored, it's because he rattles the system.
Oh, that system.
Alex Jones is the single most censored man in all American history. He was the first media figure in our history to be completely erased in one day, deplatformed. Alex Jones was deplatformed before it was a common term. And not just deplatformed, sued, attacked. They attempted to criminally charge him. What did Alex Jones do wrong? Alex Jones didn't rape anybody. He didn't loot Macy's. He didn't burn a police station. He didn't invent a fake cryptocurrency and loot pension funds. He didn't start a pointless war that made this country poorer and more disorganized. He didn't open the southern border. No, Alex Jones had opinions that deeply rattled the people who run America. In fact, rattled a lot of us. And I'll just confess that I first heard of Alex Jones when he questioned the official story behind 9/11. And I, speaking for myself, was deeply offended by this.
Oh, man. So you can see here already some of the elementary rhetorical tricks Tucker is going to use to whitewash Alex for the audience. The first is the confusing mixing up of all these consequences Alex has had for his actions. Alex was kicked off a bunch of social media platforms, and that was because of his actions. You can argue that his actions should be considered acceptable speech, and the platforms are wrong to kick him off, so I'm going to be hyper-generous and put this consequence in one basket. This is a case of corporate censorship seeking to protect advertising revenues by not associating with a toxic person. I'm going to put that as the most generous version of this you can say.
Sure.
The second thing brought up is that Alex was sued. This was the result of his own actions, defaming the families of the victims at Sandy Hook. This was not censorship. It's a consequence of his behavior. And this is a point that's kind of important to understand. If that lawsuit resulted in any censorship, that's Alex's own fault. If the families wanted to run him out of business so he couldn't hurt anyone the way he hurt them, that's Alex's fault, not censorship. It may appear like censorship, but it's the consequence of Alex's actions.
Sure.
So this is in another basket, which I'm going to call Alex causing his own problems. Then Tucker says that Alex was attacked. I have no idea what that means, and it's vague to the point of being meaningless. If he's talking about people criticizing Alex and his stupid ideas, then I think this is just whining. If it's about physical attacks, then I'd be curious what those are, because I can't think of anything. Alex got yelled at a chicken restaurant, and it became a week's worth of content for his show, complaining about how he's the victim here. So I imagine if Alex was actually attacked in any meaningful way, you would never hear the end of it. This goes in another basket that I'm calling meaningless. Then Tucker says that they tried to criminally charge Alex. I'd like receipts on this because I don't believe it.
Also, how do you try to criminally charge somebody?
Grand juries, baby. He was requested for testimony in front of the January 6th committee, but he wasn't charged, and there was no chance he would be. I would bet just about anything that he's committed some crimes in the context of his bankruptcy, but he hasn't been charged with anything. The most accurate position here is that Alex has been given an undeserved level of lenience in his life. So this is another one that goes in the meaningless basket.
Yeah.
These are the things that the man has done to Alex, but none of it means anything. The most concrete, closest to real thing Tucker has is that Alex was kicked off social media, and that was a corporate decision made to protect ad revenue. The rest of this stuff is either not real or the direct consequences of bad decisions Alex made because he knew that making them at the time would be profitable. This is all a load of shit, but it's important for Tucker to present Alex as a victim right up front. In Tucker's culture, it's important that all of the extremists that he platforms and sanitizes, they're just blameless people that the man hates for no reason. I was trying to...
I know, you did
I'm not good at
no,
it.
No, you did your best.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the mission of this intro, and it's being done poorly, and it's very transparent. The second rhetorical technique that Tucker is deploying here is the barrage of culture war grievance touch points. Alex didn't loot a Macy's, he didn't burn down a police station, etc. These are fun little shout-outs to the stuff that excite Tucker's audience, but ultimately are non sequiturs. This has nothing to do with the issue at hand, but Tucker needs to dress up this monologue intro a little bit, so you just play to the cheap seats.
Yeah. Go ahead. Oh, no, it's so amazing how silly it is when you just listen to the band. Because when you juxtapose the two of those, there's the part of me that goes, okay, all right. So, but which one, you know, like two separate lines of which goes to which, right? Okay. This is what he did. They took him off social media. Did he start a war for no reason? No. But does that mean if he had started a war, that is the right thing to do? Okay, so now we connect the dots.
Kick off social media?
Yeah, absolutely. So now it's like, oh, well, he didn't steal from a Macy's. But if he had stolen from a Macy's, then it's okay to sue him. And then we connect the dots. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a nice little thing there.
Well, here's the thing is that, like, you have one thing, which is a barrage of, like, you know, these grievances about other people. And Alex didn't do these things.
Exactly.
But then the other pile of things are consequences that are supposedly being done to Alex.
Right.
And then the question is being asked, what is Alex's crime? What did he do? And when you don't actually assess, like, no, what did he do?
Yeah, that's what I would like to know.
Yeah, when you leave it as this open question that's unknowable. The answer to this question is so beyond my abilities as a journalist.
What even is a crime?
Right. I can't possibly understand why people don't like this pile of human shit. Right. It's when you leave it spoken like that, yeah. It's like, it's just a very elementary yeah. trick yeah, that you're yeah, trying yeah. to pull on yep. people. So the comparing he didn't do all this, he didn't burn down blah blah blah. You see that kind of tactic a lot. There's almost like an obsessive need in folks like Tucker to compare your own people to the boogeyman examples that you've made of your enemies. And honestly, who cares if Alex didn't burn down a police station? That doesn't help me get a handle on his character, and it's not meant to. This is meant to remind the audience of who the villain really is. I know you've heard bad things about this Alex guy, but don't you remember all those terrifying Macy's looters that we yelled about all the time?
Yeah.
In essence, what Tucker is doing here is trying to set as clean a table as possible. Because on some level, he knows that the person he's interviewing is a monster, and a lot of people know it. He has to create an entirely fictional framework of who this guy is in order to even begin talking to him.
Yeah.
And, you know, good for him.
You know, I'm going to throw this out at you. It should be visible to the person saying it, but it never is. It never is. But it should be visible that if one of your comparisons that you're making to make somebody look good is he didn't lie us into the war in Iraq.
Which you did, Tucker.
That's kind of the thing.
I mean,
you'd think.
Granted, Tucker had much less responsibility than the actual architects of the war sure. and stuff, but Tucker sure. supported the Iraq War.
Sure, but I mean, part of this is just like.
Go back and watch some of those Crossfire episodes.
Like, I mean, you know, relatively speaking, yeah, most of us are not guilty of that sin.
Sure.
I'd say if that's your benchmark for like, hey, until you do this, no one gets consequences. I think we're all fucked.
It is just a way of like, he's not the devil.
I mean, well,
so
yeah.
criticism is impossible for me.
That
great.
Is, it's
great.
Not,
grow
it's,
up.
It's not a useful argument. It's not a worthwhile argument, nor is it a valuable argument to have.
No,
but if somebody.
It's purely to like just make people more open to accepting this person
right.
who they know on some level is not cool.
Right, right, right. But it is literally like, okay, fine. Until George W. Bush gets consequences for the war in Iraq stuff, then laws aren't real and nothing counts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, fine. At least that's consistent. At least your benchmark is someone has to receive consequences
well,
somewhere.
If we take that as the standard, that's a little strange because I would transition this slightly outside of the like language even of like crimes.
Sure.
Like, some of the stuff that Alex is like whining about through Tucker, the consequences that he's faced are not legal consequences.
Right, 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 right.
They are not the things that happen because of crimes. They are the things that happen because you're a fucking asshole. And I think a lot of people could do a pretty decent job of filling Tucker in on why Alex is an asshole.
Did he steal from Macy's? No. And yet sometimes when he's outside, people don't like him very much.
Right.
Well, okay. Yeah, yeah. All
cool.
Right.
So Tucker brought up there in the last clip that he resented Alex's talk about 9/11.
Sure.
So he gets into that feeling a little bit more here.
Okay.
And I'll just confess.
9/12.
When I first heard of Alex Jones, when he questioned the official story behind 9/11, and I, speaking for myself, was deeply offended by this. I didn't take any time to find out what he was saying, but I was bothered by the idea that this defining event in American history, which changed the life of everyone who lived here then, might not actually have unfolded as we were told it did. And that possibility was too destabilizing. And I remember feeling resentment toward Alex Jones for saying that. But several years later, I wound up in Austin, Texas, and through a chain of circumstances, wound up meeting Alex Jones. And I learned what everyone who has met him now knows, which is Alex Jones is not a crazy person. Alex Jones has said pretty far out things on TV from time to time. Not that far out. He hasn't said men can become women or Ukraine is a democracy, but within the bounds of, say, cable news, pretty far out.
You can see, again, Tucker throwing out these right-wing culture war memes to keep the audience interested.
Yeah.
Transphobia and pro-Russia talking points. Keep the people engaged, so keep them coming, Tucker.
Yeah.
I'm actually fascinated by this retelling of Tucker's early feelings about Alex, because It's not this deep. Tucker's brand back then was that he was a staunch neocon and a huge supporter of the Iraq War. Alex's position was insane and an affront to the political wing he was a part of. You don't need to have all this, like, emotional turmoil about the most important event in U.S. history. It's an affront to
come
me.
Come on. Yeah, come on. Let's zhuzh it up. Come on. Give it a little drama.
You pretending you've gone to therapy about your feelings, you know, about Alex? The fuck out of here.
We've worked through it. I start most of my senses with I feel now.
Right.
Things are going well.
Also, you know, notice that Tucker is clear that he just had a knee-jerk reaction to what he assumed Alex said back then, and then he didn't look into it. That behavior pattern hasn't changed, but his stance on Alex did because he happened to be in Austin and he met Alex. This seems to happen to a lot of people. They think Alex is out there and maybe crazy, and then they meet him and their tune changes. I suspect this happens for two reasons. One is that people like Tucker aren't serious people to begin with, and their perspectives are as malleable as aluminum foil. The second is that Alex is a narcissist, and in small bursts, narcissists are super fun to be around. Their ability to carry on as they do relies on people liking them, so narcissists have intense levels of charisma they can turn on to charm people when they need to. Folks like Tucker and Joe Rogan come into contact with this and mistake it for friendship, or him being a cool guy.
Ugh.
And as to Tucker's point that Alex isn't crazy, if he wants to stand behind that, I demand he rationalize a full episode of Alex's show to his own audience. Play the shit where Alex fake cries about God choosing him to vanquish the literal devil and see how well you can play this "he's actually a really well-adjusted person" game. Get the fuck out of here. He's well-adjusted in the, like, the version you want to present of him.
Yeah.
But not as he actually is.
Yeah, I think what I'm weirded out by now so much with Alex is, like, as far as like Alex is concerned, he's not the front page anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of Alex has now taken over completely. So what people talk about, you know, anytime I'm hearing people talking about Alex, nobody is talking about, oh, here's what's happening on Alex's show. Everyone's talking about the proverbial Alex, the like theoretical Alex. Oh, Alex was
the platonic ideal.
Yeah,
of
yeah,
Alex.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It is. It is literally like he is no longer who he is, and is only an idea or a football to be tossed back and forth in the conversation.
Much like Batman, he has become a symbol.
He is a symbol, and not even a good one.
No, the reality does not match what version is sold by the people who like to use him as a symbol.
What would be the big fat neck signal? How would you draw a silhouette of a neck?
I think it would be an airline pillow.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. I'll take that.
So Alex predicts a lot of stuff.
Sure. Oh, God, we're not doing this.
Oh, yes, we are.
Oh, God damn it.
But fundamentally, Alex Jones is right about a lot of things. And in fact, that's why they don't like him. Alex Jones has an uncanny, really an amazing ability to predict events before they happen. He has called it and he's done it on tape again and again to the point where it's a meme on the internet. Alex Jones, prophet, not conspiracy nut, prophet. But when you dig into Alex Jones's predictions, they are so spot on that it's remarkable. How does he do this? We're guessing there's a kind of spiritual sensitivity to Alex Jones. Maybe that's his secret. He was displaying this years before the average person
in
this country
fucking
even
with me?
Thought about matters like that. Now, it's pretty obvious to most people that the current war going on in this country is taking place in ways you can't see it most of the time. But 10 years ago, people were
what
not thinking
what the fuck is happening?
Alex Jones was.
Yeah, that freaked me out.
did we just get psychics are real, and also maybe the world is religion?
Yeah, and maybe there's a spiritual battle between demons and...
Sweet. Yeah. Sweet. Yes. You know what? Here's where
Tucker.
We're at. Here's where we're at, Tucker. Fuck you.
Come on, man. This is not your brand.
Get out of here. Yeah. Get out of here.
Oh, maybe it is the case that angels and demons are fighting in my backyard.
Fucking Fox News and say, oh, God.
We need to get a change.org petition to get him back in the bow tie.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is ridiculous.
This is pathetic.
Yeah, man. But, like, hearing that kind of stuff spouted by Tucker is either just a sign of how desperately he's trying to, like, make Alex look normal.
Sure.
Or it's a sign that maybe a lot of this is a bit more pervasive in extreme right ideology than we like to think. It may very well be that this is just the schema now.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think it is. I think it's going to wind up being both, because there's going to be the thing that happens that goes both ways. So on the one side, you have the people that I've been having conversations with for the longest time, where they're like, okay, I understand what you think about religion and all this stuff, but most people don't really believe it's real. It's more of like a way to interact with all this stuff and all that stuff. And then I go, listen, I know what you're saying. Stop it. They do. And then, you know, but now we're in a situation where Tucker is starting to look like that.
Mm.
That's not good.
Mm-mm.
That's not good.
No.
No, that's
no, no,
not
no.
good. No.
And it's really fun that, you know, you have people who are like, arguing against social issues on like all of this concrete reality kind of stuff, and then they're like, also demons are fighting.
Yeah,
me.
I mean, just bring physiognomy back. I'm fine with that.
It's
ridiculous. My nose is a little bit off, so I'm probably evil. That makes as much sense as anything else they've said so far.
Coming next week on Tucker.
Yeah, right?
So you remember how Tucker said that he didn't look into Alex's positions on 9/11 and then just jumped to a conclusion about them?
Did say
well,
that.
He's doing the same thing again when he's decided that Alex is super right about all his predictions. We've been over this ad nauseum, but Alex is consistently wrong about everything, and he just points to a couple instances where he happened to say something that ended up happening when he was right. It's meaningless when you just like, oh, I've got a couple examples here. And most often when he does do that, when he gets something right, there's an explanation that takes away from the prophetic nature of his prediction. And a lot of the times he's lying about what he said in the past in order to make it look like he predicted something. Because he's a psychic. So it's a mess.
He's one of the great examples of, and it's one of those things that, like, in my mind, it's messed me up, because it feels like this is the type of shit that exists only in the past whenever people hadn't dealt with it before.
Mm-hmm.
But you can just scream the same thing loud enough for long enough, and then the world will believe it. That is a true thing that can happen sometimes. And Alex is an example of that. You can just scream a not true thing loud enough and long enough, and eventually the world, or at least a large part of it, will go, sounds true to me.
Yeah, and you can just have the world's shittiest track record.
Yeah.
But if you create a little video that makes it look like you actually have a great track record, somehow people just ignore the fact that you're so wrong about everything. All the time.
All the time.
It is wild, but I mean, on some level, you kind of gotta tip your cap to the manipulativeness of it.
Totally, but that is why you like read stories about like fucking God, I don't even know how far back you can go, and you get like the fucking the spider, Anasazi, the spider.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it goes back that far.
Sure.
Shouldn't human beings have been like, maybe we put a stop to this if the spider from Africa does it?
Maybe.
Okay.
So Tucker introduces Alex, and they get right into, man, you're so right about stuff. It's just embarrassing.
And so we thought it'd be interesting to sit down and talk to Alex Jones, the man. He joins us now in our studio. Alex Jones, thank you.
Wow, Tucker, it's great to be here. Amazing studios, amazing, I mean it, amazing people. And this is really going to be, I think, a historic interview. So thanks for having me.
Well, I'm really grateful to be able to do it. And it's just, it's one of the great blessings of my life and of my job is that I've been able to meet people that I've had preconceptions about and sometimes find those preconceptions bolstered, and in other cases demolished. And you're definitely in the second category. So I want, for people who've made it this far, you know, the people around the country have really succeeded in making you disreputable. And the whole point, of course, is people won't listen to you. So we thought it'd be interesting to start with a series of on-tape predictions that you made, some of which are so precise and so prescient that it makes the hair on my arms stand up.
I'm
being sincere, and our viewers are about to see what I'm talking about. Here is a list of things that you called ahead of time.
By the middle of September, that the new policy is being written, you all have to wear masks again, and so will airport employees.
It's happening. Mask mandates are officially back.
So we got one.
This is absolutely embarrassing. Tucker is playing a compilation that Alex made himself from Alex's website of times Alex was supposedly correct about stuff. What a fucking clown. Just regurgitating Alex's masturbatory propaganda. Wow. Unbelievably just embarrassing. So that first one is Alex predicting in August 2023 that we would all have to wear masks again in September. It's now December, and this prediction was not accurate.
Nope.
However, Alex plays a clip of an anchor from the show Rising discussing a story with the Chiron, quote, Atlanta College reinstates mask mandates for students, employees. This was a story about Morris Brown College, which has a student body of about 400 and is a private college. All of this sensational reporting around this story was flawed, since it didn't point out that this was a temporary two-week mandate, and it was caused by a spike in cases being found at the University Health Center. By the first week of September, about 2 weeks later, that mandate was lifted. This first example is not a case of Alex being right or predicting anything. It's an example of him talking the same shit he talks all the time and then pulling off a sleight of hand trick where he juxtaposes it with an out-of-context news report that makes it look like he was right. Alex specifically predicted that all of his listeners and airline employees would be required to wear masks, and that's categorically wrong. So after prediction number one, hair on my arms remain unstood up.
Yeah. I wonder if the,
chilling, Tucker, chilling.
I wonder if the person who invented the Chiron, the like street, the on the news broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they're gonna feel good, you know, if there is an afterlife. Do you think they're gonna be like, ah, we did it, or like, ooh, we really may have ruined everything but movies.
I think you can rest easy saying it's a tool, and people who use it well, and people who don't. You know, it's like a car. You can use a Chiron to run over children.
It does work well in movies.
So we continue with this greatest hits collection that Tucker's playing.
We know the Joint Chiefs of Staff wanted to blow up airliners, Baltimore Sun, or if you let some terrorist group do it, like the World Trade Center, we know who to blame. And if there was an outside threat like a Bin Laden, who was a known CIA asset in the 80s.
This group and its leader, a person named Osama Bin Laden.
He's the boogeyman they need.
So this is the part where Alex predicted 9/11 in chilling detail.
I thought we were doing a list.
No, it's just a video that Alex produced.
Yeah, it's a sizzle reel, yeah.
So if you pay close attention, you'll notice that there's some pretty strategic cuts being used here to create the appearance that Alex made a complete, fully accurate prediction about 9/11. But that's another parlor trick. The first clip is Alex saying that, quote, we know the Joint Chiefs of Staff wanted to blow up airliners, Baltimore Sun. This is just him talking about Operation Northwoods, although at this point in his career he didn't know that name, so he just referenced it by pointing to the Sun article about it. The second clip is Alex saying, if you let some terrorists do it like the World Trade Center, we know who to blame. This is not him predicting an attack on the World Trade Center. He's referencing the 1993 bombing, which he also believes is a false flag. You know, he's saying if you let some terrorists do it, like in 1993 at the World Trade Center,
This
is not saying the World Trade Center is going to be the target. The next clip is Alex saying, and if there was an outside threat like a Bin Laden, who's a known CIA asset in the 80s. I'll give Alex this one, but I also qualify it as not being that impressive of a prediction, because Bin Laden had taken credit for the 93 bombing and wouldn't stop telling people he wanted to attack the U.S. again.
Yeah, I mean, that one has really always confused me a lot. Like, I didn't like that after, it was like, what, 2008? It had been like 5 years after the war in Iraq had already gone full blast. Whenever I was reading it, it was like, whoa. Bin Laden hit the World Trade Center a decade before?
You didn't know that?
I don't think I knew that.
Oh.
Nobody had told me that. Like, where I grew up, that wasn't the type of shit we'd learned.
I don't know when it was that I became aware of that, but it seems like something that I've known.
I could not begin to describe why I was so floored by that. I had to have known.
Mm-hmm.
The moment it happened, I'm sure
such a lesser terrorist attack,
sure,
in terms of scope and consequence than 9/11.
No.
Sure.
It wasn't then. It was, never mind. It was Cross's album. It was the...
Cross?
Yeah, it was...
Shut Up, You Fucking Baby?
Yep, it was that album. Yeah. When he was like, the dude, he did it before!
Yeah.
It's not a prediction!
Comedians.
Yeah.
The historians of...
when you find out stupid shit.
Yeah. So pointing to Bin Laden as a possible suspect for a terrorist attack is not really the work of a prophet, but it's fine. You know, Alex is saying, you know, if you... point out, if you blame Bin Laden, we know who to blame. That's as close to like something that is actually a prediction that Alex is making.
Sure.
These are not all from one cohesive thought Alex was putting out on his show, but when they're smashed together like this, it makes it look like Alex was solving Clue. It was Bin Laden at the World Trade Center with airplanes. That's the image that Alex's slick video is meant to convey, and it's the fraudulent image that Tucker is passing along to his audience. Another important issue to point out is that there's some discrepancy on the dates of these clips that they're being shown in this compilation. The original video says it's from July 25th, 2001, whereas the new compilation has a label on it for July 21st. I don't think that there's anything suspicious going on here. I just think the people at InfoWars are lazy and do bad work. Because it's right there on the screen.
Jesus Christ.
That date is important, though, because as we've discussed 100 times, Alex stole his 9/11 prediction from Bill Cooper. Alex's show was on July 25th, 2001, but on June 28th, 2001, Bill Cooper started predicting a major attack would happen and be blamed on Bin Laden. If you go back and listen to Bill Cooper's show, The Hour of the Time, Alex's prophetic skills look a lot less impressive. Because Alex stole a lot from Bill Cooper, and this is one of the really big things. But hey, man, Bill got killed by the police a couple months after 9/11, so Alex has had free reign to lie about him ever since.
Yeah, that's a stroke of luck.
And this is not to say that Bill Cooper was great, or even that he had prophetic powers. Please. He was a piece of shit as well. But Alex did steal this formulation from him, very clearly.
Also, what I've not understood, and I think this... I assume that the interview will actually bear this out. That's what I assume this is for, is... fine, if you think that Alex has predicted this shit, but to me, if you're going to be like, oh, well, this person should be heralded for predicting the future correctly, that means that they should then be able to tell me, like, okay, well, if the future is going to be this, then we should do this now so the future does not become that, right? That's the idea.
Well, yeah, hold on to that thought. I mean, I don't think they're going to get into that in the interview, but there are obvious implications that you can take away from the things that Alex is saying.
Right.
Like, you know, he's saying that there are all these military-aged men coming over the border. What's the answer to that?
Right.
Expel immigrants and close the border.
I mean, yeah.
So, like, he has those solutions that are baked into what he's talking about. It's just those aren't usually articulated because they're pretty extreme things.
Right, but, I mean, what's the point of telling me? I just hate that, like, you're letting the prophet religion thing do so much work whenever what you're really saying is, because I like what this guy says, I'm going to make it sound like he knows what's coming. So whenever you do what he says to avoid what's coming, it won't sound like any...
I think that there's a slightly different level that's going on.
All right.
We'll get into as this goes through.
All right.
So we get back to the compilation.
We're looking at a giant war in February right now. So I predict the Russians are going to roll in. They're already there. They're going to roll in.
With attacks across Ukraine, which is the size of Texas.
So we've been over this a bunch, but Alex is entirely wrong about this prediction and 100 others that he's made about the invasion of Ukraine. When Alex said we're looking at a big war in February, the actual context of that was his fear about China going to invade Taiwan, which is why the clip is edited down so short. Also, after Russia invaded Ukraine, Alex said that Zelensky was on Putin's payroll and that Ukraine would stand down immediately, with the war being over within 48 hours. He's been wrong since the start, and he's continued to be wrong, all while tooting his little horn about how he gets all this shit right. On one level, it's kind of funny how someone who's so wrong all the time can't stop obsessing about how right he is all the time, but from a psychological perspective, it's pretty sad. Alex is so desperate for validation that he has to lie about the things he said in order to make himself look right in hindsight. I suspect he does this because the shit he says now is so crazy that it would be damn near impossible to get anyone hooked unless they're given constant admonitions to ignore their own instincts. Your inner voice is telling you that this guy fake crying about demons is unwell and you should not listen to him. But what about all the times he's magically predicted all these major world events? Maybe your instincts are wrong. Maybe you need to shut up with that inner voice telling you that this guy's nuts.
Yeah.
And that's part of the game that I think is why you want to make Alex out to be a prophet, because there is such a hurdle to taking him seriously if you actually watch his show.
Yeah, that's why when you kidnap somebody, you have puppies in the van. You don't, like, jump out with a knife and go, ah, that's scary. Your instinct is to run away.
Mm-hmm.
But when you got puppies, you go, hey, there's some puppies. And then they just come right in.
Right.
This is essentially the same thing.
I'm a prophet.
Tucker Carlson is turning Alex Jones into a van filled with puppies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the goal. And that's what Rogan was doing.
That's the idea.
That's the project.
Mm-hmm.
So we end this compilation, and Tucker is just blown away.
Blown away so by how great. What a genius.
Those 9/11 clips are crazy.
They're crazy.
I'm actually bothered by the precision of them. I'm not accusing you of being behind 9/11. But how could you, in July of 2001, call that? You said they're going to have airliners fly into the World Trade Center and they're going to blame a guy called Osama bin Laden. Now, leaving aside what actually happened, how could you have known that?
So if you're paying attention, Tucker has created an entirely fictitious prediction. Alex didn't say that, but because of the manipulative way the clips are edited together, it makes it appear like Alex had all these thoughts strung together. Tucker isn't an idiot, and he's been in media for a really long time, so I have zero belief that he takes this shit seriously at all. He doesn't believe that Alex made this prediction or that it means anything, but this is part of a game, and Tucker believes in that game. Alex is part of a vanguard of voices who are pushing for the most extremely bigoted positions, who retain the thinnest veneer of respectability. Like, you could get a more virulent extremist, racist type.
Sure.
But generally, they're going to be people who you can't get away with interviewing.
Right.
Alex has just the... He's right on the cusp of, like, somehow you can get away with talking to him.
It does feel like he is the new Mendoza line.
Yes. Tucker is now part of a political project that's oriented toward reestablishing a brutally xenophobic country, entirely ordered around cis, heterosexual, white, male, Christian people, maintaining a monopoly on power. And Alex is an important part of pushing that Overton window. For many years, people like Glenn Beck enjoyed a certain amount of cover because of Alex. They could say the most insane shit, and when they're called out on it, they could say something like, "It's not like I'm on InfoWars." Alex's existence as a clearly insane person in media allowed them to appear sane by comparison, which is a trick Tucker himself has used as recently as about a year ago. The season has changed a little bit now, and figures like Tucker are now on a bit of a more offensive footing. So instead of playing defense by throwing Alex under the bus, the move is to sanitize Alex to your audience so the extreme, horrible shit he says appears less extreme than it actually is. This shift in tactic is something that should be of pretty serious concern.
Yeah.
Because it's an indication of a desire to move in the direction of Alex.
Yeah, I don't want to, you know, I saw Mark's tweet about how Alex can go fuck himself and all that stuff. And
about Musk letting him back on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm all fine with that. I'm all fine with all of that stuff. I just, man, I'm from sports, dude. If somebody's down, you fucking step on their throat and you end the game. You end the game. You end the game. The game is ended. Mm-hmm. You don't allow the game to continue on with that person. Fine. That's not a good way to play the game, because then the game continues on and they can come back in the game.
But from the standpoint of what I think Mark was saying with the "I don't care if Alex is left on or allowed back on Twitter or not" sure. is meaningless. Sure. I kind of agree with that. Because
I agree with it too.
Because the damage that Alex can do vis-a-vis social media, there are so many worse figures now.
Sure.
All over social media. I
agree on all fronts. All reasonable thoughts are there, but I'm from sports. You step on a man's fucking throat.
It's interesting.
And you end the game.
It's interesting how intensely you're telling me that you're from sports.
I'm from sports.
Okay.
All right. I've just seen it too many times. I've seen too many fourth quarter comebacks.
I am also from sports.
It's too many fourth quarter comebacks, Dan.
But I'm talking about the Huey Lewis and the News album.
That fourth quarter sales spiked.
Yep.
Yep.
So, you know, all this is concerning.
Yeah.
But let's go ahead and hear Alex explain his prediction of 9/11.
Sure.
Because we've heard 100 different versions of this.
Which version is this?
Let's see how he chooses to lie to Tucker's audience.
How could you have known that?
Well, in the longer clips, because it's a multi-hour show from July 25th, 2001, I specifically walked through all the reasons, and I knew that they were hyping up that we were about to be hit by Osama bin Laden. I knew that the World Trade Center had been attacked the first time and that the feds had been involved helping cook the bomb and allowing it to go forward. And I just saw a lot of the pre-programming that was happening in the media as they were on the news saying, you know, well, life's about to change in America. And I was reading what the Rand Corporation was saying and what the Pentagon was putting out. And I read the PNAC document from a year before, Rebuilding America's Defenses, that Dick Cheney had helped write. And it said, we need a Pearl Harbor event on the American homeland to be able to bring in this police state and this control and then expand the American empire worldwide. So hundreds of pieces of data went into that prediction.
So I have two main responses to this explanation.
Mm-hmm.
The first is that Alex has been very clear on his show, as well as when he was on Rogan's show, that even though he claimed that he got that prediction from research, in reality, it came to him in a prophetic dream. Here's him saying that.
I, from the time I was a child, and only happens once every few years, will have a dream. I will tell people about the dream, vividly image it, and it will happen at a later date, a month, 6 months, a year later. And a lot of people ask, how did I know about 911? How did I get on the air? Never done this before. I said, call the White House, call Congress, tell them not to use bin Laden to attack New York as their patsy. And I had the evidence, I had the information, but frankly, folks, I never said this on the air. I had a dream where I saw the towers hit.
You wonder why Alex won't just tell his buddy Tucker, who clearly has indicated that he believes there's a spiritual war going on, that he got his prediction from a prophetic dream, which is part of the skill set that God gave him so he could lead his forces against the devil. Maybe it's too early in the interview for that, but I don't know. It seems disingenuous for Alex not to tell his buddy the truth. Now, leaving that aside, my other response is that Alex has completely forgotten the narrative from 2001. In 2001, there were a couple of journalists who were able to get interviews with bin Laden, and the conspiracy community took serious notice of that. How could these journalists get access to this guy who the U.S. intelligence agencies couldn't even seem to find? It doesn't make sense. In the context of multiple interviews being reported on from outlets in the Middle East, CNN made a big deal out of how their team were the first to conduct a TV interview with bin Laden in 1997, where he'd declared war on America. All this added up to a media rollout, according to people like Bill Cooper. They were putting the boogeyman into the public's mind in advance of blaming him for a major act of terrorism. That was the genesis of Cooper's prediction that he lays out pretty clearly on his show, and this is where the beginnings of what led to Alex's what his prediction
was. Right.
It's that there were interviews with bin Laden and CNN was talking about it, and that's
right.
That's it.
Right. So I that's one of the things that I hate the most in the faith world of the listen, I think we're all fairly convinced that something's going on that we can't see.
Right.
You know, something larger than that. I'm tapped into the universe and I predicted that Osama bin Laden flew the planes into there because I can see into the future. Whoa, we're not just going to let that on TV. Can you say the first part and then also have some fake-ass reasons for why that you might be right? Or because we won't just let people allow them to believe you on faith, despite insinuating strongly they should.
Well, no, you should believe this on faith, but also this is a big ask. This is maybe a little bit too much for the uninitiated to give Alex a pass on.
Sure.
That he is a prophet and literally has visions of the future.
Up to the 9/11.
Yeah,
I suppose.
You want to wait till date 3 to drop the I'm a psychic on somebody.
Fair enough.
So Tucker's just blown away by Alex and his predictions, his abilities. Oh.
Hair on his arms.
Oh.
Standing up.
Mine still quite not.
Flaccid.
Yep. But the 9/11 thing, I remember that really well. Nobody was thinking like that. So you called it in public on tape. Did the 9/11 commission? So if I'm the FBI and I'm investigating
9/11. Did the 9/11? Yeah, what did they say?
Because you're the only person who said that out loud.
Except Bill Cooper.
Did they call you?
Yeah.
No, they didn't. But
of course they did.
My most accurate
prediction, just killed Bill
going Cooper. Back over a decade, was when I read the Rockefeller Foundation Operation Lockstep. And they described using a virus to bring in world government, to bring in a world medical ID that they would then build the social credit score off of, and that they would make people wear masks for fear, that they would shut down sporting events and things like that, and basically phase in this new tyranny. So I was also able to specifically make that prediction over and over and over again because I was going off their own battle plans.
Yeah, no, that's Operation Lockstep isn't real.
Nope.
And this is a load of bullshit.
Yep.
Alex is just pivoting over to... Because he probably doesn't want to talk more about the 9/11 prediction because there isn't anything
there.
There's
nothing else there, yeah.
Yeah, and he doesn't remember really what was going on. And further examination of the things he said about 9/11 is going to be bad for them. Does Tucker want to force Alex to actually explain what he thinks happened on 9/11?
Yeah.
Because that's going to be a mess.
Yeah. There is a certain part of every interview, hey, Alex, we came here for a surface interview. And Alex should be like, yes, you did. Why are you asking me questions then?
Well, to Tucker's credit, he does just let Alex roll quite a bit. And so there isn't much searching for depth.
Yeah, like,
because
don't...
I think Tucker understands that there isn't any. Yeah. Just wind him up and let him go.
You came here to watch me cook. Let me go into the kitchen, and then when we're done, we'll have a meal. That's
it. And it'll be inedible.
That's it. Yeah. Don't be like, oh, what were you thinking then? Right. No, you don't want to know.
So Alex had all this information that informed his belief about 9/11 happening. Sure. He had this lockstep document.
Chicken fried lockstep.
And it makes Tucker ask a very pointed question. And it's a question that I think I would take as an insult if I were Alex.
All right.
Are you the only person in media who actually reads these reports?
I don't think a lot of people do read them, but I do read them. I mean, I'm currently reading MIT reports from their top counsels, Pentagon reports. They have a working group called the Mad Scientist Group at the Pentagon that works with MIT. And if you go watch their hour-long, two-hour-long, three-hour-long meetings they have on YouTube with all the top, I mean, we're talking hundreds of top scientists, they admit that they're building a post-human world, that soon everyone's going to be mind-controlled, that they're going to put smart dust in our food that they can electromagnetically control, and they just lay it all out right there.
The smart dust is going to go with the bugs.
I do like that one.
I think that if I were asked, are you the only person who reads this stuff? I would probably take that as insult, because obviously Tucker is in essence, what he's teasing out is, no one says this stuff.
Exactly.
Do you have access to magic reports that no one has?
It is very much like only that is like that psychopath question, you know, like, how do you meet the person at the funeral again? Like, only a narcissist could listen to that question and then take it in stride and just keep on going. Like, I hear that and I go, you're fucking with me. What do you want? What did I do to you? Right. I'm reading the things. And Alex is like, I know. Isn't it weird that people don't read these things?
And I think the goal of asking it for Tucker is to be like, no, they read this and they just cover it up.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
It's got to be.
That's the end point that is most advantageous to the presentation Tucker is doing,
right,
is something where everybody has access to this. It's an open secret.
Yeah, it's hiding in plain sight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alex doesn't quite go that direction.
No.
So he reads all this high level shit, man.
I'm not really making predictions in these high level World Economic Forum and other large think tank groups. They are laying out the future, and they're high priests of the World Economic Forum. It's a consortium of all these groups. Yuval Noah Harari, you can read his quotes. The future is not human. The human era is over. The public is useless. I mean, this is a very anti-human system. So that's how I'm able to make predictions, because they've given us a roadmap. They tell us where they want to take us. And so when the public wakes up, we push back on some of it, but they always come back. And so I'm just following the trajectory of where they say they want to take us. And there were a lot of white papers, not just the PNAC document from 2000, a year before 9/11, where they describe, we really need big terror attacks. We really need Pearl Harbor events to get Americans to give up their rights.
I contest this, and I demand Alex Producer even cite any of these other white papers. He claims that we needed Pearl Harbor events. Ridiculous.
Name one.
This is complete horseshit he's laying out in front of Tucker, because he knows that Tucker's enough of a worm to eat it. Alex doesn't read high-level World Economic Forum documents. He skims memes and he makes shit up. He has a couple of lines that he attributes to Yuval Noah Harari, but I know without a shred of a doubt that Alex has not even read the most elementary stuff Harari has released, like his book Sapiens and Homo Deus. I know that because I've read Alex's stupid book, The Great Reset, and multiple chapters in it are dedicated to out-of-context sentences from Harari's book that are just being used completely inappropriately, you know, much in the way that someone who hasn't read his books would do.
Yeah, that sounds right.
If Tucker had any integrity at all and cared at all about what he was exposing his audience to, he would ask for further details. If Tucker is so blown away by Alex's seemingly superhuman prophecy powers, and Alex is saying that it comes from reading these reports, shouldn't Tucker be at all curious what these reports are? Shouldn't high-level World Economic Forum documents be way too vague? You're a journalist, dick. You're interviewing a guy. Tucker doesn't ask any more details because he doesn't actually think Alex is a prophet. He just wants the audience to. He doesn't ask for more details because he's playing a game with Alex, and he doesn't want to make it too clear that Alex is an idiot liar, and he knows that there's no depth.
Yeah.
Ask for more details, and you'll get a five-minute diatribe that includes no details.
Yeah.
He knows that.
Yeah, it is weird to be watching, like, daytime TV from the 90s.
Is that what this is?
I mean, you know, like when they would have the faith healers on, when they would have the spiritualists on the daytime TV.
You're talking about like Donahue?
Yeah, yeah. Like Donahue and the Reba.
Montel,
that's exactly who I was thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
I saw
Sally
in my
Jesse
head,
Raphael.
I saw in my head Montel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of them bringing on Alex as this, oh my God, this person who has seen the future.
Except
three times in a row. They've predicted that.
The only difference is,
yeah,
there's a level of curiosity that those programs were based in.
Sure.
In theory, they weren't just trying to whitewash the guests.
No, but there was
an opportunity for the audience generally to ask questions, and sometimes it turned hostile.
That's what I was thinking about why this is so much worse, is because this is so curated, you know, like in the daytime TV, they knew that they couldn't. They knew that the producers knew what was going on. Everybody was involved in the show,
yeah,
you know, and then the audience got the chance to have their fun with it too. This is just like an isolated block. It's like daytime TV in a confinement,
mm-hmm.
Ugh. Solitary confinement. Daytime TV is disgusting.
Yeah, yep. So Tucker allows Alex to ramble quite a bit,
uh-huh,
at various points in this interview, and here's one of them. It's just, I don't know.
It's clear that Hezbollah and Hamas have tens of thousands of men and women as sleeper cells that are, quote, other than Mexican, that the Border Patrol lists every month, tens
what?
Of thousands coming across the Texas and Arizona and California sectors. And it's an easy equation to predict that there's a wide probability that Hezbollah and Hamas at some point are going to attack sports stadiums. They're going to attack colleges. They're going to attack synagogues. They're going to shoot up mass gatherings if they're given the order by Iran, if we go to war with Iran. And then when this happens, our government won't get in trouble for dissolving the border and letting these people come in. Just like on 9/11, our government clearly had prior knowledge. There was clearly a major stand down that went on. And the government got more power, more control, and now they're not pointing the Homeland Security apparatus at the Russians like they did in the Cold War or the Islamists after 9/11. Now they admit that their main focus is Christian conservatives and the bitter clingers and the people that live in rural America, that quote, white people. I mean, it says that in the report, are the main terror threat. And so this whole apparatus of the war on terror, it has now been turned inwardly against the people, not just here, but also in Europe, where if someone criticizes transgenderism in the UK, they come to their house and arrest them. If a journalist does that, they come to their house and arrest them.
Good.
If somebody says, I think these surveillance cameras should start getting cut down, they come to their house and they arrest them for their free speech. And so this is a global movement by the mega corporations, by the Black Rocks and the State
what?
Streets and the Vanguards that control 80%+ of world wealth
what?
To control our behavior. And Larry Fink of BlackRock has said that at the Davos Group repeatedly. We're going to use our control over all this finance and this global social credit score we're rolling out to control people's behavior. So that's
okay.
Really what this is. And then they use the threat of global warming. They use the threat of a virus. They use the threat of radical Islam
sure.
to take our rights. But we really are the target.
What?
Even if by the way, none of that seems implausible
Made
at this
sense?
Point. I mean, just you're a measure of how the world has changed. If you'd said this to me 15 years ago, I'd have been like, you know, someone's a crackpot and it's not me. And now after COVID, nothing you said seems crazy at all. I mean, you may be right, you may be wrong, but it's not out of the realm of possibility, obviously. But even if I disagree with what you just said, I would think that's pretty interesting. It's an interesting perspective. Why do you think you've committed no crime? You'd be in jail if you had. Why do you think they hate you so much?
You've committed no crime, you'd be in jail if you had is a painfully stupid thing to hear Tucker say. He doesn't believe that shit for a second, but it's just another way to appeal to the audience that Alex has done no wrong. He's a good man. He's a good man people like don't like for no reason.
Wow.
Now, I can elucidate a little bit about why people don't like Alex, even just using the very interesting perspective he just shared with Tucker. That clip jumps all over the place. But the general theme is that Alex doesn't like that law enforcement agencies in the country recognize the dangers of white nationalism and white supremacist groups. He thinks that Homeland Security should only be used to protect the homeland from non-white people, so he gets really offended when white groups are seen as terrorist threats, even when they do terrorist stuff.
Right.
That's a big part of why people don't like Alex. He's a flagrant racist. He's savvy enough to not use slurs on air, but the difference in the way he covers stories depending on the race of the subject is very glaring if you pay attention. Beyond this trend, which we've covered in detail previously, Alex literally just repeats white supremacist talking points constantly, stuff about varying crime rates and what have you.
Yeah, yeah.
And he believes that apartheid should be reintroduced in South Africa and Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people think it's fun to pretend Alex isn't racist, but that's delusional and I have no time for it. Keeping going with things that Alex touches on in that clip, he's also a vicious transphobe who would like to wield the power of the state to outlaw all LGBTQ existence in public and eventually in private. He believes that gay people and trans people are mostly pedophiles trying to lure your children into a death cult, which is disgusting to preach. In that clip, he says that in the UK you get arrested if you criticize trans people, which seems really strange considering that J.K. Rowling doesn't seem to be in jail. The biggest transphobic person probably in media in the world? So this brings me to the next reason from that clip that people don't like Alex. He lies to justify his hate.
Yeah.
He has no problem making things up when he needs to, generally because reality doesn't conform to his ridiculous bigot shit. Also in that clip, Alex claims there are tons of Hezbollah sleeper cell people in the country who have come over the border, which he has no evidence to back up. However, promoting this mentality is a surefire way to build up anti-immigrant sentiment, which is one of Alex's big causes. If you think that there are tons of Hezbollah sleeper cell agents walking among us, any person you suspect of being an immigrant from the Middle East could be a lethal threat to you and your family. Promoting narratives like this are building blocks of Alex's aim of dehumanizing immigrant populations who he would like to expel from the country. Also, people hate Alex because climate change is real and because COVID is real, and his actions probably led to a ton of unnecessary deaths during the pandemic, which Alex shamelessly tried to profit from, promoting how evil all the masks are while selling a mask, claiming that his supplements could protect you from COVID. It's a load of shit.
Yeah.
There's plenty more, but just from that clip there, these are some of the reasons people might hate Alex. It's because he's a lying piece of shit whose primary influence on the world is inciting and exacerbating hate. He's done no crime, hence he's not in jail.
You know what's amazing, Dan? You made me hate him all over again.
Yeah, we like to renew those vows.
Fallen hate all over. Yep.
So Alex has his own answer, though.
Sure. I'm different from yours?
It's a little different.
Okay.
Why do you think they hate you so much?
Booze.
Because I do read their documents and I do read their books, and we were effectively getting a lot of people in the military and the intelligence agencies who were compartmentalized and who tuned into my show and saw my films and read my books and things, and they clicked with it and said, wow, I see all this going on around me. He's not lying about it. And then I would give them other pieces that I discovered or my other guests discovered. And so it was giving them an operational awareness outside of their compartmentalization. And so we had massive success in the military, in the police, and in the intelligence agencies, not just here, but around the world. And so our penetration into those areas to help people expand their awareness that we're inside the government, inside corporations, was triggering a lot of whistleblowers, was triggering a lot of people not going along with the program. And so really my sin was decompartmentalization of the population.
So Alex absolutely does not read anybody's documents. That's ridiculous.
Are you sure his sin isn't decompartmentalization?
Well, that's where things get actually kind of interesting, because I think that there's some truth to what he's saying. Now, granted, I don't think that there's any reason why the man hates him
being explained here
or anything
that. Yeah, yeah.
But I do think he's touching on a dynamic that was real of his show, which was that he was pretty effective at radicalizing police officers and military.
Sure.
So
there is something to be said for that.
I don't think that that is why the globalists hate him or anything like that, because that's all in his head. But I think that, you know, he's at least pointing to something real as a cause for why his imaginary enemies hate him.
There is that, yeah. I will give him that.
So tip of the old cap for at least having internal consistency and
logic. Yes, yeah, fair enough.
Which is not often the case here.
Yeah, that's true.
So Alex got censored from...
Before we go any further,
okay.
I just need a head count or something.
Two. Alex Tucker.
Right. But I mean, like, how is it possible for Hezbollah to be sending so many people over here?
And they have been for years, that's why.
And then still, you know, like, isn't a good argument, like, how are they running their own infrastructure? You know, like, who is dealing with Hezbollah's comptrolling issues?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they've got so many people in sleeper cells over here.
It's an organizational nightmare.
It is absurd.
The org chart is nuts.
I mean, come on. And who reports to who? You don't even know who's going to be there on what day. What's the phone tree like if someone's sick?
Everybody knows that Hezbollah has the largest standing army.
So many people in Hezbollah, apparently.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Alex got sent. I have no answer for you.
I don't know. Is there a lot? Is there a little? I don't know.
According to this mythology and this fantasy.
Infinite.
Yes.
Yes.
So Alex got censored from internets.
Yes, he did.
And Tucker wasn't there for him.
No. First they came for Alex, and Tucker said, fuck off.
I'm out on a boat, asshole.
When you got deplatformed, and it, to this day, no one has ever been more aggressively censored, I don't think, than you. I've apologized to you this in person before. I was in Labrador on a fishing trip and missed the entire thing. I was literally out of cell range. I didn't know what happened, but I got back and I read about it. I felt like it was a major moment in the history of the American media. I don't think anybody defended you when that happened. Anybody with any kind of audience.
For me, when Tim Cook admitted that he met on the weekend in August of 2017 with the other big tech heads, and they made the decision to curate like it's a museum and take me off. It was hundreds of platforms. I mean, it wasn't just all the big ones. It was everything from LinkedIn to our bank accounts being taken away to everything ensuing that week and over the next month. And I knew that I was a test case. And I wasn't taken off those platforms for any demonstrable reason. It was the questioning the school shooting thing that came later. They went and kind of dredged that up from my past, just questioning it a few times, blew that up after I'd been deplatformed and said I was deplatformed for that. But if you check the record, I wasn't. And so once they deplatformed me, it made the show in ways only get bigger with people actually going to InfoWars.com and finding me on local radio stations and things. So then they panicked and said, okay, let's look at his record and create more of a reason that he's being taken off. So they took things out of context from 5-6 years before, blew him up as a current thing out of context, and deceptively reported on what I'd said to create a straw man argument to then facilitate the reason.
What's so crazy is if you asked just a cross-section of Americans who's responsible for the Sandy Hook massacre of kids at the school, no one remembers the name of the murderer.
Adam Lanza.
Okay, thank you. I didn't remember.
What
Alex Jones.
Is happening?
They effectively blamed you for a school shooting.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. It's fascinating, though, to hear Tucker repeat something that I've literally only heard Alex say, which is that no one knows Adam Lanza's name, and they just think Alex did Sandy Hook.
Yeah.
That's completely insane, and I have a strong suspicion that Tucker is just pretending not to remember Lanza to play along with Alex's idiotic bit. Other than that, that right there is one of the indications that, like, I think Alex had some creative control.
He had to have.
Over this interview.
I've never heard anybody say that.
Yeah. Never.
Never.
It's a ridiculous thing that Alex says.
Yep.
The opening the show with his own sizzle reel of fake predictions.
Yep.
Like, there is something going on here that Alex... this is not something that is impartial and Tucker is producing of his own accord.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that it's like a pay-to-play situation or anything like that, but there is some level of editorial that Alex is exerting.
Yeah, I don't like this at all.
Also, that really seemed like a sincere apology. And it totally explains why this is the first time that Tucker has appeared anywhere with Alex in the 5 years since Alex got kicked off social media.
Well.
Seems really sincere.
Yeah, well, I mean, he got him.
Yeah.
You know, he's got your back now.
Yeah, I mean, he referenced him a couple times on his Fox show, a couple times. Didn't have him on.
Alex Jones people think Alex Jones is crazy, but is he really that crazy? See, I said that 3 years ago, Alex.
Sure.
Remember?
Sure.
Yeah.
I am your greatest supporter.
Yeah.
So Alex rambles here about the ADL. A bit.
Sure.
And how they want to take the sponsors away. They're trying to take the sponsors.
All right.
Mirroring some of the Elon Musk talk from recent days.
Yeah.
I am still banned. And I'm not mad at Elon Musk. I understand I've been so demonized with the general public. He's barely able to you know, keep Twitter going right now. I really appreciate what he's done. I admire him. I think he's done a lot of great work, and I see him moving in the right direction. So a lot of people attack Musk on Twitter. You know, I trend all the time. Hey, if you're such an absolutist on free speech, bring back Alex Jones. I understand that if he did that, the ADL and others would really be able to probably shut down Twitter. So I understand that he needs to, you know, go through a process before he does that. So people get mad at Twitter for not...
Why the ADL? I'm not the world's expert on your career, but I know you. I've never heard you say a single anti-Semitic thing and an anti-Israel thing. Why would the ADL be against you? I don't think anyone's even called you an anti-Semite.
I mean, what goes on is the left forever called everybody a racist if you were just a conservative or pro-Second Amendment or pro-life.
Or
we ought to have a border.
Usually all four.
That didn't work anymore to call people racist. And so the ADL gets all this big liberal donations. And so they go out and then police and take people's sponsors and target them just by the ADL calling up sponsors. Sponsors get scared and drop. And so that's what they've done to Elon Musk. They've been, you know, they took over 50% of Twitter's North American and European advertising in just the last year and bragged about it by saying he gives harbor to white supremacists, which he doesn't. But at the same time, white supremacists are ridiculous. They're goofy. Most of them are usually working for foundations and are basically, you know, actors. We're not supposed to say that, but there's many cases of that actually being the case. And that they're just
Tucker, you're one
supremacists. But let those clowns
silly.
Speak. Whatever happened to the ACLU that used to support the KKK marching through a town or publishing a newspaper? I don't support the KKK. I think they're a joke. But if you take their rights, you're taking everybody's. But they're not even taking the rights of those people to post because they create fear and they get the ADL more funding. But if they can target an Alex Jones or an Elon Musk or a Tucker Carlson, then they're going after the real populist leaders that are bringing America together. And so what the left wants is to divide us all according to race and to come out and say fundamentally with critical race theory that inherently being white is bad.
What?
And sure. Teaching five-year-old white children they're inherently
That's
bad
where
because
we started.
They're white.
Oh, God. So this is just kind of a bland episode of Alex's show at this point.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
The goal here is to expose more people to Alex's shit and push the audience even further down the road to extremism. And the only way to do that is by presenting Alex as kind of a sensible person. The way this interview could have been interesting is if Alex got wasted, like he did on Rogan, and then he put on a show.
Yeah.
But he's trying to appeal to a different audience here, and they would likely be turned off by him being drunk off his ass rambling about aliens, which is unfortunate because this is just boring.
Yeah, that is... I mean, it does feel as though Alex was invited onto Tucker's show after Tucker had been kicked off of Fox News,
mm-hmm.
freeing the you know available space open, after advertisers have already left Twitter. They're gone.
Yeah.
That shit's gone.
So they're
in an echo chamber of just people who would otherwise agree.
Mm-hmm.
There are zero downsides because no one pays attention to who fucking cares what the WAPO says about Alex and Tucker's interview.
This is kind of like that Mark Twain quote that Alex loves, like at the beginning, a patriot is a feared man, scarce,
yeah.
and you know, like,
yeah.
but then in time people come around because it costs nothing to be a patriot. Just replace patriot with white supremacists.
Right.
And
right.
you have Tucker, like, it doesn't cost him anything to do this now.
It doesn't.
And so, yeah, he wouldn't have done it before. You know what would have been a fucking awesome move?
What?
Jesse Waters, as soon as he takes over
okay.
for Tucker,
All
brings
right.
Alex on.
That would have been a badass move.
Fuck you,
that
Tucker.
That would have been a badass
What now?
Move. That would have been a badass move. No, I just don't understand why they're not leaning into it, you know? Like, I don't understand why you still have the gloves on if you're Tucker. If you're Tucker, because it feels like they had a conversation that was like, this is for Tucker's audience. This is who we want you to look like. This is who we're presenting you for.
Right. Because I think that Tucker probably doesn't want to be seen as that publicly.
That's pathetic. You are that publicly, Tucker. Step up.
Well, I think that a lot of folks have difficulty with being overt that we're the bad guys.
I understand.
They know that on some level,
yeah.
So you create a thin veneer of respectability. And then on the second level, I think that if you were just to be out and out clear about what you're about.
Sure.
As someone like Tucker or Alex.
Sure.
I think that Tucker would run the risk of actually getting his show kicked off Twitter. Well, no, he wouldn't.
What?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Because of what?
In the past, yes.
Now, absolutely
not. As soon as that came out of my mouth, I'm like, what am I talking about?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, no.
No, we're all... The best thing that's going to happen is that we're all going to be kicked off Twitter.
Right.
When it Twitter goes away.
Yeah, when it folds.
Yes.
So, in this next clip, they branch off from complaining about the ADL taking everyone's sponsors.
Sure.
Into... Complain about how tough it is to be white.
Oh, it's so hard.
White people have it so tough.
It is so tough.
And teaching five-year-old white children they're inherently bad because they're white, that is wounding their brains and really creating racial division.
Why do people put up with that? I don't understand why. I mean, that's just, if you had told me 20 years ago.
I don't know.
And I grew up in a world
why
where
did people put up
people
with
on the
slavery?
Basis of their skin color was totally immoral. And I still believe that. But if you told me 20 years ago that we were going to live in a world where people get on TV and just be like, I hate white people, they're bad. No, it's totally fine. Like, why do people put up with that? Like, there should be zero tolerance for that. I don't get it.
The Democratic Party founded the KKK. And when the majority were whites in the South in some areas, they played the race card for political power. Now that the majority in most areas are not white, they're playing the good old-fashioned race card of tell whites, you know, stand down, let people take over your society, your culture, give up your culture. It's embarrassing to be white. And then now it's flat-out bad to be white. And the left's trying to convert all these minority groups that are now the majority in most areas into race-based systems because that is a very effective
system.
But
why do people put up with that? I mean, like, if they were doing that to Malaysians or Filipinos or Hondurans, I would say you can't do that. You're not allowed to attack people on the basis of their race. I'm sorry, not in a country like this because a country will fall apart and it's immoral.
I totally agree.
But nobody says anything. Well, I don't get it.
The reason they've done it is most of the enforcers of this are white liberal women, 45 or older, not
fair.
It's just a fact. And they're cucked husbands. And so to them.
Can I just say that the phrase cucked husbands is the best?
It really is true. So if you get around these white liberals,
does that even mean?
Areas, they're totally scared of anybody with brown skin.
I want a psychiatrist.
They virtue signal constantly and then say, yes, the white people are bad. You know, the white people are evil. And, you know, I mean, I've even seen white people sit up there and say, yeah, it's time to deal with these crackers. And they're a white person saying that. So
from Jackson Hole or Nantucket or Aspen.
Who are you people?
The white species in America.
What are you talking
about?
There
be a law. It's super simple. If you've got a BLM sign in your yard, you should be required to live in Gary, Indiana or Baltimore.
What?
You should not be anywhere near Jackson, Wyoming.
You should be made to live in East St. Louis.
I totally agree.
You should be made to live in Detroit. Yep.
Segregation now! Segregation then! Segregation forever!
That is unironically some of the most racist content I've heard from Alex.
That's the most racist thing I've ever heard.
Apparently, Alex and Tucker don't believe you can express your belief that Black Lives Matter if you live in an area where they feel it's predominantly white. The implication here is, of course, that these cushy white liberals who live in these cushy white areas only believe that Black Lives Matter because they don't live in areas with higher black populations.
Right.
There's an underlying premise here that these imaginary white liberals would change their mind if they lived in East St. Louis and that their opposition to racism exists only because they don't live around a lot of black people, which is nuts.
This is but it's my favorite. It's my favorite because it's such a great line of thinking, you know, like, the only reason you don't live by those people who I would never live nearby is because of the imaginary things that I think those people I've never met might do to you.
Right. All this is made up in Alex and Tucker's racist imagination. Who are these white liberals, these shrill female enforcers and their cucked husbands?
45 and older. Yes!
They don't exist, but they're characters that Alex has invented in his mind in order to invalidate opposition to racism.
Yeah.
To the point of how this is all in his imagination, no one is even saying that white populations are inherently evil. This is a complete fabrication of Alex's imagination because he's emotionally threatened by conversations questions about how race and racism have shaped the modern world we currently inhabit. He's intensely weak in his sense of self, so instead of engaging with the actual arguments and conversations that are being had, he has to create a fictional version of them to whine about where he's the victim. Does he think that the legacy of slavery and the years of segregation that followed don't still have real-world impact in terms of housing, urban development, and generational wealth? If he doesn't agree with that position, then he should actually form a rebuttal instead of just pretending everyone hates white people because they're white. This is ridiculous. It's childish shit that somehow is allowed to be taken seriously.
Yeah.
It needs to calm down and go away.
Yeah.
And it's being mixed with some, like, just generally and genuinely intensely racist ideas being expressed.
That is literally the most full-throated support of segregation I've heard publicly in a long time, which is why it's even crazier to me that we have to pretend like behaving like not getting drunk all the time is what's going to make Alex more palatable to people, as opposed to just being like, hey, I just think you shouldn't be allowed to have a BLM sign if you don't live in a predominantly black area, and also only black people should live in predominantly black areas. Like, what are we doing here?
It's a mess.
I don't understand how, like, when people see a thing and then they tell me, like, oh, this is what people are going to think. I am always wrong. I am way wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm way wrong, because I hear that and I'm like, well, obviously people are going to go, look at these two weirdo white nationalist creepos living in the fucking Maine underneath a... What are they doing? And instead they're like, these people.
They get it.
They have got it.
Yeah.
We got to think about whether or not 9/11 is hit because of this.
Tucker and Alex don't have the woke mind virus, man.
I guess it must be that. I think I have the woke mind virus.
Yeah, you got it from the vaccine,
Got it from the vaccine or something.
Yep.
Yep.
Or you watch too much TV that China made you watch.
See, I don't do that either.
It's not just here. It's in Europe and it's in the UK, like in London. The liberal areas are like 99% white.
Oh, I noticed.
Okay. And there's a lot of rich people in London that aren't white, but they're not even in that area. They are the most insular group. And then they point at white Christian culture and society that actually outlawed slavery in most of the world, was the vanguard of stopping it. And then they don't point at China, which is the most homogeneous, racist group in the world.
It's an ethnostate. It's Han Chinese, period.
Well, they teach, as you know, on their news, that we are going to have Chinese superiority. We are the Chinese supremacist. Xi Jinping admires Hitler. He is literally following a race-based operation that is taking the world over, that owns the majority of Hollywood, that's paid off the Democratic Party. And if you look at all these anti-white shows that you see funded in Hollywood, almost all of it has majority literal communist Chinese government backing that is funding this. So it's real simple. China looks in and sees this diverse culture, and they say, we're going to use that to split the country up and balkanize it. And that's what they've done. And so communist China, along with the Southern Poverty Law Center and the ADL and all these groups, see America's weakness. And they're literally coming in saying white people are inherently bad because of the color of their skin. They inherently have cheated people. They've hurt people. White people invented racism. None of that's true. It's really just tribalism. And
wait, did China invent this?
They organize all these other groups into race-based groups to then unify them under the Democratic Party to attack who is left that tends to be more conservative. And that is some white people in this country.
Oh boy. So again, more weird anti-white fantasies out of Alex's imagination. I'm going to go ahead and just wait for him to prove that China is making anti-white movies and TV shows in order to attack white people by making minority groups join the Democratic Party in order to fight white conservatives. Something? I don't know.
Yeah.
Very strange.
Yeah.
Also, small point, Alex is totally wrong about the UK's voting patterns. White people overwhelmingly voted for conservatives, and the non-white people in the country mostly voted for Labour. Large cities mostly went for Labour, like London, which is not 99% white, or whatever the fuck he's saying.
I don't even know how to begin.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
This is, again, Alex trying to make a very racist point, which is his belief that people who are anti-racist are only so because they don't live around non-white people. This is flagrantly racist stuff that he's blaming on China or something. It's incoherent.
No, I mean it is so much like I look at people who live in harmony together and I say, the only reason you guys do that is because you don't live next to each other. And I say that because I don't live next to any of you. If you live in a city, that's where all the white nationalists, I mean, but I don't live there, so I won't go there, but that's where they, wait.
Alex is the same person who freaked out because he saw Muslim women in a pool supply shop. Like,
just go to the store.
Yeah.
Shut up and go to the store.
Yeah.
You know?
He's the one who has the problem.
Oh, they're replacing it. Shut up and go to the store.
Yeah.
Just shut up.
Live your life,
yeah.
Dickweed.
Just shut up. Yeah.
No one cares.
I mean, amazing.
No one cares about your very soft feelings.
But what if someone not white makes me mean? Makes me feel bad. No.
What about China making these anti-white TV shows?
Oh, man.
What TV shows are these?
Fresh Prince.
Sure.
Yeah. Will Smith, all China.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I'm not sure. No specifics are given, so we just assume it's all of these.
It's all of the...
This huge collection of anti-white TV shows could be anything you want. Probably anything with a black main character, because that, Alex believes, should have been a white
main
character.
I was going to say, yeah, there's no way that there's just like a regular TGI block, you know?
You mean like there's a show that's like Step by Step,
yeah,
but the entire show is just about how white people suck?
Not just how much white people suck.
Yeah.
There's no like TGI, there's no like block of like nonstop.
I'm going to guess there's not.
That would be a really interesting, I would watch the shit out of that, to be honest. Just, it'd be fun.
So,
okay.
The issue that that we come to is that black people and Hispanic people are voting more for the GOP, and that's making the race baiters of the Democratic Party freak out.
Uh-oh.
Though they're panicking because more and more blacks are voting Republican, more and more Hispanics are voting Republican, they're starting to figure this out. So now they're in panic mode to bring in totally disenfranchised third world populations who are refugees from the multi-year lockdowns in Africa, Latin America, and Asia and the Middle East. They then bring them to UN camps, brainwash them, then bring them to our border, brainwash them more, then send them into the United States, and then literally hold them for years at facilities while they're indoctrinated to be this new political underclass that's then going to be turned loose on America. And that's why you see Democrats giving illegal aliens the right to vote in their cities, giving them driver's license. That's why you see them passing laws. They can be police officers. So they are importing a new enforcement class against the American people. And they're setting it up along racial lines, not us. They're making it racial. Just like Hitler made what he did
so
racial.
Clever of them.
So it's the left and the think tanks and the communist Chinese that look at the U.S. and have seen our weakness as race, and they are exacerbating it.
So I don't understand. So you're from Texas. You grew up in Texas. Your family's been there a long time. Texas is changing really fast. It's dirty, for one thing, I notice.
Whoa. Weird shift of topic. Weird.
Yeah.
It's dirty.
That I don't feel comfortable with whatsoever.
No.
Whatsoever.
We'll get more into where his thought goes afterwards, but I just had to like have a little bit of a break after that clip, because it's like what Alex imagines is ridiculous. The level of an operation they would need to brainwash immigrants for years in order to, in numbers that would sway elections.
Massive.
Is ridiculous.
So we're talking hundreds of thousands.
More than that,
at least.
I mean, if you consider the places where there you could make a relevant difference in it, like the electoral vote.
Sure. Here's what I would throw out at you.
I'm listening.
I would throw out that it is impossible to imagine the words "turn loose" upon the American public.
Right.
While at the same time, still including that they would have to then get very menial jobs like the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, how do you turn loose something on a population?
Because they're giving them all the free money.
No, but I mean, they'd be working at, like, they'd be a receptionist at the fucking...
Turn loose. Free money.
Oh, God.
But again, this is all...
I have to pay rent. You can't turn loose and pay rent.
Inciting othering and dehumanization of immigrant populations.
Which
is something that Alex is very invested in.
Yeah.
And so all of this bullshit nonsense that he's throwing out is in service of that. And when you consider the logistics of what he's just randomly throwing out, no evidence, just doop.
Yeah.
It's comical in its scale, the kind of project that he is discussing.
Yeah, it is so easy to like, cuz we're inoculated to it, and overwhelmed by it all the time. But it is like, turn loose is such a fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Somebody could just move into your building.
Turned loose.
You know, like it's not. It's just people moving.
Hey,
it's people moving. It's not like they've got somewhere else to go along the way. There's a job for them. They've got a place to live. Now they're your neighbor. Nobody's been turned loose. They've joined you at the club.
Best case scenario, they're coming off 5 years of globalist brainwashing.
I would like to pick their brain with that. And you know what? Now that I'm their neighbor, come on over. Let's talk about it.
But that's best case scenario.
That is best.
Worst case scenario. Hezbollah Super Cell.
I knew Hezbollah was coming.
Yeah, you never know. And that's why you can always, you can't trust these immigrants.
I'm not sure if it's Hezbollah.
Also, Austin is dirty. So let's get back to that thought.
Okay, sorry.
So I don't understand. So you're from Texas. You grew up in Texas. Your family's been there a long time. Texas is changing really fast. It's dirty, for one thing, I notice, because physically dirty, garbage on the side of the road. I never have seen that in Texas before. So your governor could have stopped that. He commands the Texas National Guard.
Literally?
And he didn't.
What is happening?
I feel like that makes him a traitor to the country, but what am I missing?
Well, I mean, Governor Abbott is, on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, the best kind of Republican governor is a 10, and the worst is, say, a 1. And like the Illinois so-called Republican, that's really a Democrat. I would put Greg Abbott as about a 5.
He is a Democrat.
The state is overwhelmed. There isn't really a state mechanism. It's federal to kick people back and deport them. So they have put up barbed wire. They have tried to stop people. They have tried. But then they have to hand them over to the feds, who release them.
But why not just say the feds are committing a crime? Mm-hmm. They're committing a crime. This is not allowed under laws passed by the Congress. In a democracy, Congress passed laws.
Ha-ha.
And so you've got criminals running the country. The Biden administration is criminal, which is true.
Criminals.
And we're not playing along. And like, if you don't like it, come do something about it. Meanwhile, every able-bodied man with a black rifle assemble at the border, and we're just going to stop this and save the country. I don't understand. Like, that's not hard. What am I missing?
No, I think you're absolutely right. In fact, what the deep state fears would be a coalition of good governors, good attorney generals, giving them the findings and the rulings that they could indeed do that.
Deputize a armed militia to patrol the border and shoot people who try and cross. That's great.
Right.
So now here's the thing. Yeah, Alex doesn't realize that Pritzker won.
Yeah.
I think he still thinks Rauner is the...
Yeah, that's fine.
But leaving aside his four-year-old Illinois politics.
Listen, what are we going to get a different billionaire next year? It's fine. We'll be all right.
So leaving that aside, I think that Tucker is legitimately calling people garbage.
I do agree with you.
Because otherwise, what he's saying doesn't make sense.
It's the only thing that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
He cannot be describing it as there's
litter.
It's not.
There's littering.
No, I mean.
And that makes Abbott a traitor to the country.
I mean, come on.
It is intense dehumanization. And I think Alex gets it because he doesn't miss a beat.
Yeah.
Going along the same road.
No, nobody felt like they were confused by Tucker using a synecdoche when it should not be there.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
Pretty fucked up.
You know, because the first thing I thought was the fun little, oh, did you know that Don't Mess with Texas was actually to help stop littering? Because they didn't want
Texas. That's the first thing you thought about.
That was the first thing I thought about. It was like, oh, well, that's
not
important.
Tucker. Tucker thought people are garbage.
And then Tucker was like, no, people are garbage. And I was like, oh, right.
Yeah.
Also,
not a good idea to just arm random people and have them deputized to be militias on the border. We've seen a litany of abuses that have been carried out by people who took that upon themselves to do. A lot of people who are guests on Alex's show over the years, in fact, who have maybe kidnapped people at gunpoint.
We need to compile a list of similar type questions because they are regularly asked. The questions of the like that are like, why don't people do blank? Because they're questions that have repeated answers throughout history.
Yep.
The same
questions
answer
we've all answered
over
and
over
along
and
from
so many times.
Yep.
Right? So that whenever somebody, like, this is why we need AI, not for any reason, but like, Whenever Tucker says something like that rhetorically, why don't we just blah? Then the AI would boom, because in 1908, 300 million people died. You know?
It wouldn't help.
It wouldn't help, but
because,
that's what it is.
Because the end result is Tucker wants people terrorized.
Yeah, that's the idea.
He wants people who are coming over the border to be terrorized in the ways that it has gone wrong when vigilantes have taken this shit upon themselves.
Right.
He wants that in order to dissuade people from coming to the country.
Yeah, he wants floating dead bodies in the Rio Grande to keep people away.
Yeah. I mean, granted, he'd probably be all squeamish about the imagery of that.
How can we let people do this?
He would be scandalized by the imagery of it, but the effect of that is essentially what he would like to be. So the fact that this has an answer doesn't stop him from breathlessly asking the question as if there is no answer.
Naturally.
So the central banks, they want to buy up everything, but people aren't selling.
Right.
So they got to crush us. And this has to do with bringing in immigrants and such.
All right.
This is a mess.
This is a plan. The central banks have unlimited money, but they can't buy all the infrastructure up because people aren't selling. So they've got to crush us and make people so poor that everybody's forced to sell their business, their intellectual property, their physical property, but more importantly, to turn over our bodies to them. We're a UN treaty that O'Biden right now is
Biden
is trying to ratify, would literally put our bodies under the control of the United Nations and our medical care policy under it. So
it's the pandemic.
Pandemic treaty.
Yeah.
So what this is really a breaking of our will, a demoralization. That's what the transgenderism is, and two men can have a baby, and puberty blockers, and castrating little boys, and cutting little girls' breasts off. They've got such hellish stuff coming in this designed global collapse to bring in their world government that they've got to just have all these horrors out there, hoping we just throw up our hands and run off to the countryside, which everybody's doing, and in a way that's good. But at the same time, then they've got full control.
That's totally right.
And they're going to march out of the countryside next and dig us out.
So that's, I mean, you look at the White House press secretary, who can barely speak English, who's one of the stupidest people I've ever seen, and a transparent liar. You wouldn't hire her to run your copy machine. She's the White House press secretary. Why would you do that? And it's not because of her race or who she sleeps with. I think the whole point is she's so obviously repulsive that it makes you feel bad about the country to see her.
That's it.
What the fuck was that?
It's very reassuring that Tucker clarified that it's not about race. That really makes me more comfortable.
What the fuck was that? Wait, is a White House press secretary a black woman?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that makes more sense now.
Yeah.
Like, it makes more sense that he was just being racist.
Yeah.
No, as opposed to, like, I thought he was just being very, very dismissive professionally. I was like,
well, he's also being that.
No, totally. Yeah. For sure that. But, I mean, as opposed to it being rooted in just a massive hatred for women, it's also a hatred for women who are not white.
Yes.
Good.
That's all baked in there.
That just, double thumbs up.
Yep.
Mwah!
So,
that's great.
I don't.
Well, what is it? What is it going to take? Is it going to take me inventing a gun that shoots bullets shaped like Sean Spicer? Is that what it's going to take for us to just be like, you know what? We don't have to make fun of press secretary. What are we even doing talking
wasn't
about
the
that?
Mooch?
Secretary? What are we doing? What are we doing? Stop it, everyone! Stop.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So I zoned out a little bit while we were listening to that clip because, honestly, it just feels like a boring episode of Alex's
show. It really does, yeah.
Oh, God. So, yeah, like I said, I mean, it's just rambling.
Yeah.
This clip's a little bit longer because I'm just going to illustrate this. It's mostly just Tucker letting Alex go.
That the big banks, on record, brag. They've penetrated the cabinets, to quote Klaus Schwab. They've put their operatives in to cut off our energy, demoralize us, release the hardened criminals, put the political activists in prison, continue to cut off the resources to make an angrier world. Klaus Schwab says, we're going to make the world collapse. We're going to have everybody turn against each other.
Sure.
We're going to blame the political classes that we own and control. And then when we're done, we'll bring in our new solution.
Smart.
But first, they have to demolish the cultures and societies that we had before, with the fentanyl, with the open borders, with the demoralization,
then
they bring in their next phase, which is a high-tech, cashless society, robot drone-controlled nightmare.
Sure.
More than half of the U.S. in their official UN maps
It's 50%.
That they've had for more than 25 years. Mm-hmm. They're in some of my first films.
Almost
show half the U.S. off limits to humans. All cars will have to have GPS. Everybody by law will have to have a cell phone at all times. Australia just did this last year. You tried to push it through. And that's the admitted.
Just imagine Tucker sitting like, ooh.
Every car is robot kill switch, GPS controlled. California is moving to ban all the, quote, classic cars. That's any car that doesn't have a digital ignition. And they admit it's for control. So if people think things are bad now, the straitjacket, the ball and chain is going on. It's all being militarily run. Our military is great men and women, but at the top, our military has been globalist trained.
Reel it in, Tucker.
What are we doing?
40 years.
Somebody stop this.
Almost every general, every person under their control. And that's why it came out in the UK and Europe and also here in Canada. You pull up the headlines. Defense Department purposely scared public into lockdowns, masking, and taking inoculations. UK headline. British Ministry of Defense secretly brainwashed and terrorized public. Canada, same headline. They even let you know, oh, the military is here to do this. And now, oh, the CIA and Justice Department is there to help surveil the public to stop disinformation. And it turned out, of course, almost all that disinformation was true.
Always.
About everything. So
always.
We have to understand, our governments have been seized. The big corporations want to get rid of the American idea. You got 50 acres and your house and a business and a farm, and you can take care of your family, and you're independent. They have to destroy all that because the rest of the world aspires to that. Instead, they want 15-minute cities, central bank digital currencies. They want all of these systems that track and trace everything you do in the social credit scores. And the plan for the rest of the public, we're talking 99%, is 250-square-foot coffin apartments, 5G bathing you in them, literally eating bug protein. And I told people 10 years ago they're going to push bugs on the public because I read it in their white papers. Now it's already in grocery stores all over the U.S., all over Europe.
They're putting the cricket meal
into the food, very toxic.
Undisclosed, yeah.
It's got chitin in it. Yeah, they'll just give it a number. It's like it's got like a code. And you ask again, why would you do that? Because it's all about breaking our will. They don't want people to aspire to open, free societies. Yeah, there's a lot of waste, there's decadence, there's issues, but there's freedom. They want to train us to live on carbon rationing, food rationing, a very dystopic world. You'll own nothing, you'll have nothing, and you'll be happy. Now, these are quotes.
I have to say, I bet there are, I don't know how long into this we are, 30 minutes or something. I bet there are a lot of people watching who are thinking, holy smokes, I can't believe I'm agreeing with Alex Jones. I'm supposed to hate this guy. Like, where's the lie in what you just said? I'm not sucking up. I'm sincere.
Obviously, tricking people into agreeing with Alex is the primary function of this interview, so it's not surprising to hear Tucker attempting to restate the goal here. But he asked where the lie was. So in this, from that last clip, I'm going to list off the lies that jumped out to me.
Okay.
One, Klaus Schwab did not admit that they put in operatives to cut off energy, demoralize people, etc.
True.
Two, there's not a plan in place to release hardened criminals.
True.
Three, Alex is calling jail time for the people who planned the riot on January 6th, putting the political activists in prison, which is dishonest framing.
Nah, fair enough.
Four, Klaus Schwab didn't say that he's going to make the world collapse. Klaus Schwab didn't say he's going to have everyone turn against each other. Six, no one has announced plans for high-tech cashless society robot drone controlled nightmares. Seven, more than half of the United States is not slated to be off limits to humans.
It would be a very strange choice to make.
Eight, all cars are not legally required to have GPS. Nine, Australia did not require everyone carry a phone at all times. 10, no one has announced a plan to force everyone to have a cell phone if they leave the house. 11, California is not banning classic cars. 12, the top of our military has not been New World Order globalist trained for 30 to 40 years. 13, not all of the generals are under globalist control.
Sure.
14, almost all of the COVID disinformation did not turn out to be correct.
Yeah, that is also true.
15, the government does not want to destroy the idea of you having a house and a family.
I don't know if that's true. Maybe they do.
16. The U.S. is not going to have a central bank digital currency the way Alex understands it.
Yeah. Yeah.
17. The U.S. does not have a social credit score or anything approximating it.
Mine's 9.
18. There's no plan for 99% of the population to live in coffin apartments.
Where would they sleep?
19. Cricket meal is not toxic. 20, the bugs that are in your food are not there because Klaus Schwab wanted you to eat the bugs.
You'll eat the bugs.
But because corporations can't produce food at scale without the risk of some bugs getting into it, so there's regulations.
It's just how it is, yeah.
21, you'll own nothing and be happy. That quote is entirely out of context. That's not even a complete list, but there are 21 points of dishonesty or outright lies from just 4 minutes of Alex talking. Yeah. I'm sure that Tucker cares about where's the lie.
Yeah.
He's not. He's just pretending that nothing in there is, everything you say is real, and I agree with it, and my audience should love it.
Yeah, I mean, it is a very openly cynical, perhaps to a point of creating a black hole, insofar as just being like, none of what you say, like looking directly at the camera and saying, none of what he says means anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just tell you what to think.
Yeah. And I can't, I cannot find fault with this man.
I mean, right? Just
that's
like
exactly what Alex said about Putin.
Right. I mean, it is.
I cannot find fault with him.
Just like don't force me to listen to Alex make noises if all you want is for him to be there and then you to point and then go, this good now.
You should like
yeah,
this.
Exactly. Just do that.
Right. I mean,
just fucking put him under a jar of glass so I don't have to listen to his bullshit.
Well, here is actually where the interview took a little bit of a turn for me.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, like, we're approaching parody level.
Yeah.
So one of the things I find so striking about you, having watched you on and off over the years, and this must be a burden for you personally, but your ability to see people at a deeper level or to see things in them that are not obvious to the rest of us. And I want to give a specific example. So there's a guy called Brian Stelter who had the media show on CNN. I first met Brian Stelter when he was a high school student or a first year college student because he would hang around the show I worked on at the time at CNN. This was 20 years ago at least. And I always thought he was awkward and weird and probably had a super creepy personal life, but I never took him seriously. There's a pretty famous clip, and I want to play it right now, of you critiquing Brian Stelter, and
you take him way more seriously
than I ever did, and I think you're right to.
So he's not going to do it, is he?
Pretty famous clip of you on Brian Stelter.
Hell on earth! He wants to run your life. He wants to control every aspect of your life because he knows he is a cowardly, degenerate sack of anti-human trash. I pledge before my Heavenly Father that I will resist them every way I can. These people are the literal demon spawn of the pit of hell. Look at him. And you know what? He is better than you if you keep letting him run your life. He runs your kids. He runs the schools. He runs the banks. This guy, this spirit, this smiling, leering devil that thinks you can't see what he is your enemy. Period. All the narcissistic, devil-worshipping filth.
Sure.
I see you, enemy. I see you, enemy! 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 You are my enemy! And I swear total resistance to you with everything I've got. Disingenuous, fake, false, broke back, twisted, a defiler, a betrayer, a backstabber, a devil! You don't think I don't see you, Stelter? I see you, you understand me? I know what you think of me and my family. I see you right back. You understand that? You understand that, Stelter?
I've only watched that several hundred times, and I laugh every time, but I also, there's something to, if Brian Stelter had absolute power, would you and your family survive? Of course not. You wouldn't. You'd be, of course not, and neither would mine. So there's a lot that's true about what you said. How did you perceive that? The rest of us just made fun of him.
This is bordering on parody levels of obsequiousness. This is just nuts.
He's a twisted, weird little elf.
Who?
Tucker. Yeah. Something. Something's going on there.
It's just disorienting to hear somebody play a clip like that where Alex just loses his shit about Brian Stelter. Then he turns around and asks a serious question. But, you know, this is actually very insightful. This is adding on to my pile of things where I think Alex had creative control.
If
this feels like Alex.
If, obviously, if Stelter was a god king.
Right.
You would be dead. Clearly. That's... What a strange.
That's
what a
bizarre.
Fucking, what a fucking weird. What a weird fucking world view, life, yeah. Think, mm-hmm. Way to fucking fuck off.
I always dreaded.
Go somewhere else.
I always dreaded the notion of McNeil from McNeil Error. Yeah. I always worried about him becoming a god king and how my family would not be safe.
Oh,
if McNeil.
If
no, Jim McNeil. No, Jim Lehrer.
Yeah.
I can't remember
Jim
McNeil's
Lehrer.
First name.
I don't remember.
But yeah, if he became a god king, my family would be screwed.
I mean, like, one.
It's such a bizarre obsession.
One, first off, somewhere inside, you have to know that outside of the very specific context that you exist in, you don't exist to him. You're not real. Brian Seltzer does not care about you.
Well, actually, hold on to that thought.
Oh, God, no.
For a second. There's a part of me, though, that's weird. Like, why doesn't Tucker play the clips of Alex rambling about how Stelter's a pedophile and stuff like that? Why doesn't he? Or the, like, literal demons possess him and, and all this shit. Why? It's weird that he chose, you know.
Yeah, that one's more fun.
It is.
Yeah.
Betrayer! You are my enemy!
I think it's just the depth from with. You know, he does have a diaphragm that fucking works.
The
you know?
Reason that clip is at all notable, or people like responded to it at all, is because it's fucking hilarious.
It is hilarious
that Alex is losing his shit about Brian Stelter.
It's Brian Stelter.
Yeah,
it's Brian. It's just Brian Stelter, man.
So now, when you say that Brian Stelter doesn't think about Alex,
also, what is? I don't like Tucker telling me this personal story about Brian Stelter as a young kid, and then years later on, he's being a piece of shit to Brian Stelter. Then too,
well,
that's bullying over decades. What a fucking asshole!
Mic down for this next clip,
oh,
because
God.
When you're talking about bullying...
Oh, God.
I mean, I don't know if you want me to reveal this, but we had dinner in our barn last night, and there were some drinks. And after dinner, you and my producer called Stelter on the phone. And what was so... And it was on speaker, so I listened to it. What was so interesting was, you know, you've been very clear in a very direct, pretty masculine way, I would say, about how you feel about Brian Stelter. There's not a lot of confusion about your views on Stelter after clips like that, which doubtless he's seen because he Googles himself compulsively. He was very kind of syrupy sweet with you.
And that's why I was sarcastic and told him I want to date him.
You did, yeah. In fact, the exact line that you had was, Brian, I'm not usually gay, but I want you.
Yeah.
And he seemed a little bit, I'm not saying he's open to it or whatever, but he wasn't shocked by it.
And he's
it.
Like, give me your phone number. Give me, I want to talk to you.
Yeah.
And then he hit your producer up. Please give me his number right now. Let's
yeah,
talk.
That was interesting.
But I was being silly with him. But there was also a line. He goes, oh, Alex Jones. I said, I want you to come on my show. And he said, oh, you still got a show? And I went, no, you're the one that doesn't have a show.
And then, I said it's
so. Tell the other line.
It's so boorish to like recount conversations people weren't witnessing.
It was funny though.
But. You said, you know, you know, you're off TV now, but you were a real star. I mean, not on CNN, but on my show. So good.
Oh, and then there was the point when you said, is your refrigerator running? And then he said he should go catch it. Oh, man, it was classic. These are adults. Alex is 50. They got drunk and prank called Brian Stelter the night before this.
See, that's fun.
Yeah.
I'm stoked about that.
I'm not.
Them telling this story is the sad
one. It's very sad.
One, I on record, I don't like telling I guess you had to be there stories.
No.
And I definitely don't want to one I don't want me telling one to be recorded.
Sure.
You know
sure.
what I'm saying?
It's a little tacky.
Like just don't broadcast that. Don't broadcast you enjoying a story that other people can't
second.
Enjoy.
Isn't your bright spot you and Elfring telling a bunch of you had to be there stories?
No. Those are charming, fun stories. All my I guess you had to be there stories are boring and sad, and I leave them alone.
Fair enough. There's a difference.
Yeah. There's a huge difference.
I disagree with you that it's cool and fine that these two adults got drunk and called Brian Stelter.
Yes, we could disagree on that. I think contextually...
I feel like that's a little embarrassing.
I agree with you.
And these are children.
I agree. But what I think is we should all be children.
I've had Alex's phone number for years. I could have prank called him at any point.
Right, that's true. But that wouldn't have been fun.
No.
That wouldn't have been fun. And they didn't even have fun... That's the other... That's what it is. They're having fun now talking about it because they're creating a scenario where they did have fun, which is not the scenario that actually went down.
Probably not.
Brian Stelter fucking made Alex pissed off by making a joke about how Alex doesn't have a show anymore before Alex could make a joke about how Stelter doesn't have a show anymore. So they've rewritten this whole thing, and now they can laugh about how actually we're the ones who are twice as clever and funny as everybody else.
And can you imagine just being home minding your own business and then drunkenly Tucker's producer calls you and boop, it's Alex drunk on the other end of the line telling you that he wants to fuck you?
Yes! That sounds reasonable, right?
It's a weird night.
It does, but it does seem like a night where somebody gets to the phone and you're like, oh yeah, oh, Alex is drunk and calling me. I'm Brian Stelter. This sounds right. And then you hang up and you move on with your life.
It's ridiculous.
Fucking stupid.
So Tucker is shocked that Stelter would be so kind and so nice on the phone when Alex has been so mean to him, instead of looking at this as a man who's capable of forgiveness and understand.
If Stelter was God, you would be dead.
Because Stelter's nice on the phone, he's weak.
Enemy.
Betrayer.
If someone had talked about you that way and then called you late night after a couple drinks, you'd say, you know, up yours, pal. You know what I mean? Like, buzz off, or I'm not taking your call. But he kind of sucked up to you. That's a very weird passive-aggressive posture.
Well, I've said a lot of really mean things about him and attacked him, and when I watch the clips out of context, I feel guilty. But he was going around with Oliver Darcy. They would brag on Twitter and literally hitting hundreds of my sponsors. And I say hundreds, I'd have like 20. They'd take them all. I get 20 more, take them all. This went on for years. So you go get a sponsor, you get them, they're doing great. He takes it away from you. And then he brags that him and Dart. I was taken off Twitter, not for the Sandy Hook stuff that came later that they focused on. Look it up. They had the former head of Twitter and the lawyer on Joe Rogan about 4 years ago. And Joe said, why did you ban Alex Jones? The lawyer goes, okay, let me open my clipboard. She goes, here's why. He was mean to Oliver Darcy. So I'm at the Capitol. They're having censorship hearings. Sundar Pichai is there. I just confronted him in the hall.
Who runs Google.
And you guys are welcome to use that if you want. And then that was at the Senate. So now they were going over to a House meeting, and there's Oliver Darcy in the line. He gets to get in. I don't even get into a hearing where they then attacked me. They'd attacked me at the last hearing, but I don't get to face my accuser. And so I get in his face. I don't threaten him, but I say, you are an evil man. You're un-American, coming after my free speech, harassing my sponsors, trying to get me off the internet. And the last place I was on was Twitter. They'd held out. Jack Dorsey had held out. And so Jack Dorsey admitted, well, the last straw was I bullied Oliver Darcy. And so that's why I was deplatformed. Elon Musk thinks it was the Sandy Hook thing. And notice,
do you know that in most cultures, bullying Oliver Darcy would be like a rite of passage? Like, you couldn't, like, that would be a positive good, right?
Boo!
He's literally on Twitter taking my sponsors, calling for me to be silenced.
So this is all a load of shit. And the biggest part of it that's ridiculous is the idea that Stelter and Darcy were just constantly taking Alex's sponsors away. Alex would get new sponsors and they'd come along and muck it all up. The reason this is idiotic is that Alex's business model is specifically set up to insulate himself from this kind of pressure campaign. His primary sponsors are his own products, and the outside groups that work with him are run by zealots like himself that would never care what these dudes say. My Patriot Supply isn't going anywhere. This is by design. He knows that he says stuff that's going to anger people, and people are going to be able to exert economic pressure.
Yeah.
That's why, from the beginning, before he decided he needed more money and wanted to branch out even larger, he had Genesis Communications Network that was run by Ted Anderson, who also ran Midas Resources.
Mm-hmm.
Ted Anderson very explicitly laid it out that they were a one-talent business in terms of they had, Genesis Communications needed sponsors and Midas Resources needed to advertise.
Yep.
And so they worked hand in glove with each other. Alex had just that and the couple of weirdos like the Limerick soap guy that would come in. That was it. They designed a system where public pressure could not get rid of sponsors.
To be clear, let's just reinforce what that means is that these two arch capitalists have specifically gone out of their way to protect themselves from what capitalism would do to them if it were allowed to go unchecked.
They were trying to protect themselves from the forces of the free market.
Yeah.
Because they knew that they would anger and run afoul of
it. So it's not always a good thing.
Not really.
Nope.
So this is a real concern that other much more successful shows have to worry about. Tucker had to deal with it on Fox, where there was a pressure campaign applied to get his sponsors to drop their support of his show. And Alex wants to get in on that by pretending that that was a worry he had as well. The second thing there is that Alex is not quite getting the reason that he was kicked off Twitter correct. It may well have been that the time that he confronted Oliver Darcy was when the getting kicked off happened, and it may even be the case that that was the last straw, but that wasn't the sole reason. There were three primary reasons that Twitter's lawyer Vijaya Gadde gave on Rogan for removing Alex from Twitter. The first is that he'd received multiple strikes to his account for posting things like a video of a giant man punching an 11-year-old girl in the face. He received other strikes for behavior that came up in the line of inciting harassment. It was right on that line against individuals in his posts and on Periscope broadcasts. And the interaction with Oliver Darcy was possibly a tipping point in that. This wasn't a political or journalistic confrontation that Alex made with Darcy. And the people at Twitter, I believe correctly, assessed it to be an act of targeted harassment. Alex was doing this as a performance to incite further abuse and harassment to be directed at Darcy, which Twitter didn't feel like was an appropriate use of their site. Alex can oversimplify this all he wants, but the truth is that when all the other companies kicked him off, Twitter didn't. He had every chance to maintain his Twitter account, despite him being a loathsome piece of shit, and he couldn't even manage that. At that time, there was a real feeling that Alex was trying to get himself kicked off Twitter, because this "I've been silenced" shtick doesn't really work well when people can just respond, "You're still on Twitter." At that point, being kicked off stuff was becoming to be seen as like a mark of valor for people in the extreme right wing as well, and Alex has been pretty zealous about making that his brand. He got exactly what he wanted, and now he's complaining about getting it, which is ridiculous. Mm. But, you know, he's a victim. He's a victim of the forces
that
are aligned against him.
Yeah, something like that.
And Tucker, it's his big thing on this this episode to reinforce that and push it.
So what's the effect on you? And I don't mean even the lawsuits against you, and there was an effort to criminally indict you, I guess, just for having bad opinions or whatever.
A bunch of them, actually.
A bunch of them, yeah.
They've had four grand juries I've had to respond to, subpoenas. My
lawyer... When you've committed no crime, you're like the one of the only people in media who's not ginning up race hatred, I would say, just to be totally clear, because it's very common to do that. You don't do that. And but, so anyway, and then, of course, this $1 billion judgment against you for having naughty opinions, which is insane.
I really think that Tucker saying that Alex doesn't incite racial hatred over and over again, he's protesting a little too much.
Yeah.
Maybe hitting that gong a couple too many times.
Not like you. Not you don't do that.
Right.
I'm talking about it's really easy for other people to do. It's super easy to do. It's so easy to
Everyone
do that.
Everyone else does it.
And in fact, people do it so much that you might do it and people will hear it and think that you're doing it, but you're not doing it.
No.
Because you don't do that.
No. One of the only who doesn't.
You want to.
You're so great.
But actually, you don't even want to. That's how great you are.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even want to do that thing that you want to do.
Yep.
Yeah.
Alex absolutely has not been subpoenaed to four grand juries. And to the extent there have been any grand juries that he's been called to, it's to provide testimony. They weren't trying to indict him. This is all just a load of shit meant to convey the idea that Alex is a victim. Everything is about downplaying Alex for Tucker. He has to constantly say that Alex doesn't incite race hatred, which is definitely untrue. Tucker is trying to reassure his audience that Alex isn't a racist, because there's a large percentage of his viewers who haven't come to terms with the fact that they love racists. They're on their path there, but they haven't quite gotten there yet.
Yeah.
Also, the Sandy Hook case has to be presented as being about Alex having naughty opinions, because presenting it as it really is would make Alex look really bad. Tucker literally couldn't do this interview successfully if he took that case seriously, if he did the cursory research he's obligated to do and heard the experiences of the plaintiffs. That case wasn't about Alex having naughty opinions. It was about his concrete actions that caused family members of murder victims to be terrorized. And Alex has claimed that he was drunk on air when he was making the claims about them. So please, Tucker, show Alex as he is, not the construct you want to make him out to be. This is pathetic. This childish level of look at the fake version of this man that I want you to admire.
Yeah. I really feel like that we should be smart enough to get past the whole. I mean, okay. How about this? All right. The idea of a trial is that on neutral playing field, facts and reality have sway, cannot be fought back against, and people without
influence or bias, given the correct and accurate information, will make a good decision.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the idea of justice. It's about as good as we got.
Sure.
Right? If all of that happens over the course of like 6 years, over the course of however many things, over all of this bullshit, and at the end of all of that, those 12 people come back with $1.5 billion fucking dollars, everybody should just go, shit, that's a lot. Maybe we'll just leave this one alone.
Well, no, because it's all rigged.
It's no, I mean, and listen, fucking Putin isn't going to win an election by 1.5 billion votes. That's unreasonable. Only a ridiculous dictator would win by 1.5 billion. It's so ridiculous that you would have to believe that Alex is an asshole. You have to.
Maybe. Or maybe it's all rigged.
No!
Every election is fucking fraud.
That's true.
Because
all of them.
Sometimes your candidates might lose an election and you need a rationalization for why. They actually won. They secretly won, but it was stolen. So every election is stolen from now on.
Yeah.
Every court case is rigged from now on because sometimes the people that you like lose cases and you don't want to let that color the way that you look at them. You don't want to have to deal with the fact that Alex is a giant piece of shit and did stuff that really caused serious drama to these people. No, it was a rigged case because they're just trying to punish him for having naughty opinions.
Right, right. Because I like you because of the things that you remind me of me about. And then whenever I see you getting punished for those things, then it makes me think that maybe I'll be punished for doing those things.
Oh, no. So here's a real insightful question that Tucker jumps to.
What's that?
Just the chops on this guy.
What's it like to spend 25, 30 years connecting the dots and seeing this slow-moving storm come toward the country that you were born in? What effect does that have on you?
Since you use the analogy of a storm, it'd be like if I was 100 years ago before they had radar. And I've read about the famous flood 120-some years ago in Galveston that killed tens of thousands of people.
Yeah, the hurricane, yeah.
Yeah, the hurricane. They didn't know. They didn't have radar. And so they didn't know. But, you know, there are the fishermen out there catching shrimp or whatever. And then all of a sudden, here comes basically a tidal wave. And if I was one of those fishermen, and I knew my children and my wife were on shore at school or work or whatever, and here comes a 40, 50-foot wave I know is about to kill them, I would not be thinking about myself watching this giant wave come in, I'd go, oh my God, my wife and kids are over there. And so it's not that I'm a hero. It's not even a selflessness. I realized that I was just out in front and ahead of some people in understanding this because of family and research and just, you know, things in my life that I saw that encouraged me to get involved in the media because I was aware of the globalists and some things that were going on because my uncle was high level Iran-Contra, had some other family that, you know, worked in clandestine things. So I kind of grew up just around folks that knew what was really going on.
Wait, your uncle was high level around country? I thought he was just running an airport. He wasn't involved in the dirty stuff. Oh, well.
No, it's real bad.
It's real bad.
Real bad.
It's fun that this interview just takes for granted now that Alex is right about the idiotic shit he says.
We
just jumped to that.
Oh, yeah.
So why isn't Alex saying what he normally does on his show? Like, where are the shout-outs to the John Birch Society, who formed the basis for Alex's political ideology? Where's the talk about God giving Alex a prophetic vision as a child that laid out the full spectrum awareness of history in the world? Where's the talk about periodic downloads from God over chicken fried steak? Alex doesn't get into that stuff because he knows what he's doing here. That kind of talk would make him look insane to a new viewer, and this interview is all about putting on the freshest, most respectable face possible for Alex to present to potential new viewers. Crying about the devil and all that shit, that's for initiated viewers, to keep them interested and spiritually bully them into sending you more money. It's a tool that has no use for new eyes, though. So Tucker is talking to this curated, watered-down version of Alex. He's like a bad boy, school drug addict bully who puts on a tie and gets a haircut to meet his new girlfriend's parents.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Anyone who knows the bully guy sees past the haircut. Anybody who knows anything about Alex looks at this and is like, why is he not presenting himself as he is? This is ridiculous.
This has got to be, I imagine if I'm watching this in a way that I can respond to it that is not already, you know, like I'm already aware of Tucker and Alex and I've already made up my mind or anything, you know, like I imagine somebody walking by the Scientology Center, if they have nothing to, like, their shitty day, like, you know this stuff. The whole stuff that makes you, when you walk by a Scientology Center and see a bright smiling face and somebody say, hi, can I help you? That makes you go in, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, this has to be that kind of, like, going clear moment for so many people, because you obviously don't join the Sea Org. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't go straight from, I had a bad day at work and my boss is an asshole, to, like, yeah, slavery's fine. You know, yeah. Like, it takes a bit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, by degrees.
It is strange, though, because I don't know how it is, like, if InfoWars is the Sea Org that we're getting to, mm-hmm. in this analogy, right? What would make you want to join InfoWars from this interview? Do you know what I mean? What would make you join the Sea Org from this interview? I don't feel it.
Well, maybe you don't. But
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
If you put yourself in the shoes of somebody who really likes Tucker, and you have Tucker presenting this guy as a prophet, essentially.
Yeah.
And that you should not trust your own instincts and anything you've heard about this guy.
Sure.
That might at least make you curious. And if you get lucky and you go over to his show, maybe it's not one of the days where he fake cries and quits on air. Maybe it's not. And then
that is a gamble.
Yeah.
That is a good point.
So, no, I mean, I think that the credibility that Tucker is giving him by presenting him like this and saying the things he does about him and acting so blown away.
Yeah.
I think that it gets you on the boat.
Oof, man. Don't join the Sea Org.
No, it's not a good idea.
No.
So Alex goes on to ranting about some of his nightmare dystopian future ideas.
Sure.
But the globalists have gone from testing phase, beta test phase, into full operational now. And they say, read their writings, we are going to have a post-industrial world by 2030. We will have no personal cars by 2030. You will be eating bugs by 2030. And we will start the depopulation of 90% of the people by 2045. That is the official WWF, official UN, official Club of Rome plan.
What do you mean the depopulation?
They want to bring the world population down to 500 million.
But I thought
Georgia Guidestones.
Genocide. No, or no, I guess we're not.
Well, you know, we're told now we don't have children that's half of the earth. And we're told all this, and Elon Musk is right, and is a hero for pointing out all the actuaries show, if you don't have 2.1 children, a man and a woman, people go, well, man and woman can have 2.1. It's in the aggregate, folks, out of billions.
Oh.
If a country doesn't have
2.2
replacement rate, then you don't have people to take care of the old folks, society collapses.
Of course.
And so Japan's 1.3, Italy's 1.3, they're done as cultures. America, without immigrant influx, is about 1.6. That's not viable. And so...
What about with immigrants?
I'm talking about white people only here, but white people are 7% of the world population, maybe 8. And so I would be sad if...
So it's almost like they're not that important?
I'm sad that the Japanese, within 100 years, there might be 20 million of them.
But just to my previous question... about, and without getting too personal, but like, I mean, I feel a little bit enervated and down just hearing your dot connecting here. Like, what's the effect on you over 25 years?
Hey, buddy, I don't want to talk about demographic stuff with you right now because I'm pretty sure this is going to get much more racist than generally.
Let's go into specifics about how many of each race I want alive at any given point in time. Japanese, 900 net, wait.
I feel like Tucker was trying to ask him what effect this has on him.
Yeah.
What does it feel like to be so ahead of the curve and so right?
Let's do the racial breakdown of how the world is going to come down after the Club of Rome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's not do that.
No. I was wondering how
very
you
gently,
feel.
Gently move
how do
this
you
back.
Feel.
Right. So here we go with another attempt at that question.
Okay.
What's the effect on you over 25 years? I mean, if you literally foresee 9/11 before it happens, and you did, and it can be proven, we just proved it. Like,
proved
what is that,
it.
What's
Boo!
That like to live with that weird ability?
Well, I mean, I know a specific clip. I specifically say, call the White House, tell them we know they're going to let Al Qaeda attack us, Bin Laden, and then take our rights. And I say, call the White House. I put the number out, so I put my money where my mouth was, and that's the only time I ever said call the White House and tell them stop a particular event. I'm now saying we need to call the White House and say, you've let tens of thousands of military-aged men from the Middle East in. We know a lot of them are Hezbollah and Hamas. The FBI has confirmed that. And so when and if there's big terror attacks, which I believe will probably happen in America, we're not going to have Homeland Security get more funds and more power and grope us at the airports more. I want prison time for the agencies and groups that have allowed this. And I want Biden impeached now. Okay.
There's all no right. answer to Tucker's question about what effect this prophetic power has had on Alex over the years, because it hasn't had any effect. Alex doesn't actually think he has this gift, or at least to any extent that he does. It's a function of his delusions, and they're not delusions that he reflects on. The whole Alex Jones was right about his predictions thing isn't real. It's a marketing campaign, and it relies on out-of-context, manipulatively edited short clips where Alex is actually wrong. It's a game, and if you actually believe it, you're the mark in the scam. Since Alex has no insight into how he's dealt with being a prophet, the only place he can really go is inciting against immigrants, apparently. Also, for what it's worth, Alex is absolutely said to call the White House about a ton of shit.
He's
pretending that he only said it once and it was about 9/11, so this new anti-immigrant talking point holds more weight. But that's just another trick. On May 5th, 2011, he told the audience to call the White House because the globalists were going to set off a dirty bomb. On December 26th, 2012, he told the audience to call the White House because Obama stole the last election, which Alex claims he never has said, and the globalists were going to come take all the guns.
Yep.
On August 5th, 2009, Alex told the audience to call the White House because the globalists were going to attack the public with a bioweapon, which turned out to be SARS, in basically a cold run of the narratives that he's now doing about COVID.
Everything old is new again.
On November 12th, 2014, he told the audience to call the White House because the globalists were going to attack the public with a bioweapon, this time Ebola, trying to do that routine again.
Sure, there it was.
Throughout that stretch in 2019, Alex was constantly telling the audience to call the White House to get Trump to pardon Roger Stone. On September 8th, 2009, Alex told the audience to call the White House to tell Obama to meet with Charlie Sheen. The point is that Alex does this shit all the time, and he lies about not doing it to give whatever narrative he's covering at the moment undeserved weight. He's a liar and a con man, running this con with expert assistance from Tucker. I mean, Tucker could not be doing a better job of helping prop up Alex's scammy bullshit.
It is really a two-man game.
Yeah.
Right now, it's kind of almost disgustingly fucking find the lucky lady ass shit. Mm-hmm. Like, this has been wow.
So Alex does finally get around to answering the question of what it is like to deal with being so right for so long.
Bad.
And you asked the question, this has really taken a toll on me. Not the fake lawsuits, not the weaponization, not the deplatforming. I was already getting exhausted 5-6 years ago, and when I married my second wife, who's amazing, I have three children with my previous wife, and one, you know, they're all great children, and one with her. We were in Hawaii getting married like 7 years ago, and I said to her, I said, I want to just write books and make documentary films and maybe do an occasional podcast. At that time, I've been on air like 22 years, 6 days a week, 3 hours a day at least. And I said, I just don't want this burden, this big crew. I love the crew, but I don't want to do this anymore. I said, I want to move the country, and I want to just, you know, because it's taking a physical toll to every day look at this stuff. And now I've gotten to the point, which even though I say don't let them break your will, don't let them demoralize you, that's because I understand the process. It's happened to me. Used to, I'd have hundreds of incredible stories and clips every day. I couldn't wait to expose the bad guys. Now I look at it once, I'm ready, I study it. And then half the time I get on air and I just go, let's just take calls. Or I start talking about some fun story just because I mentally cannot sit there and stare into the abyss.
Or I quit
and stare
on air.
I mean, Biden or, you know, their press secretary that's meant to enrage us and demoralize us. And I think that's a defense mechanism that's healthy. So I think we all have to be balanced.
And I'm not mad about the press secretary because she's black.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on. If it's a good thing he doesn't have a boss.
Yeah.
Because if I was his boss and I just heard him say, I can't do my job anymore. I don't like it and my heart isn't in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to quit. Yeah. I'd be like, okay, cool. Then let's start finding you.
Yeah. It's all a load of shit. He's acting like, oh, I'm so passionate about writing books. But you don't even write the books
you write. Shit.
You don't do anything.
You don't even do an occasional podcast.
I love the way he's presenting the current workflow, though, as being a result of not wanting to look into the abyss.
Yeah.
As opposed to, he's just gotten lazy, and he currently relies on narratives and talking points that require no actual preparation. Underneath what he's talking about is bullshit.
Yeah.
He knows that, so why study the bullshit?
Bother?
Just make up whatever you want.
Yep.
Most of the time, Alex will just see a tweet posted by someone like Jack Posobiec and then yell about what he imagines the attached article says, and that's fine. That's what his audience wants.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't expect more from him. If Alex wanted to, he could sit down and do hard-hitting shows about the evils of the globalists, but that's too difficult. The audience doesn't want depth anyway. They just want the catharsis of watching an emotional outburst that includes the kind of bigotries that they enjoy and buzzwords that resonate with them. Yeah. And Alex provides that for them, so why try harder? He'd be an idiot if he tried harder.
Yeah, it would be, well, I mean, he'd lose his job.
It's a waste.
Yeah.
It's a waste of effort. You'd be providing the thing the audience doesn't actually want.
Yeah, you'd be, I mean, it's counterproductive.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the globalists, they want death. That's sure. what they want.
Sure.
And this clip is stupid.
The globalists are so scared of death. They have all this money, all this power, all this control. So they're obsessed with finding life extension technology, merging with machines, becoming gods. That's their new religion. That's the transhumanism. And that's where all their funding goes. But that's only one side of the coin. The other side is that if you're going to be God, you've got to be in charge of death. So because they fear death and they project their hatred of themselves onto us, then if they can poison us, dumb us down, sterilize us, depopulate us, they believe that's more for them at a very greedy level. So they want to be death, the destroyer of worlds, to quote Oppenheimer, I become death, destroyer of worlds, and at the same time cheat death. So it's a total subconscious obsession.
Oppenheimer came up with that quote?
Consciously focusing on it, getting over it. Instead, they turn it loose to their animal lower alligator brain and are now manifesting all this because they've not embraced the higher level of understanding.
I agree with that completely.
What? So why isn't Alex explaining to Tucker that transdimensional beings told the globalists that they need to kill everyone off? That's a really big part of Alex's worldview. It's so weird that Alex doesn't bring up how the globalists want to kill everyone because that was part of their pact with the literal devil, and that the people who they kill are sacrifices to feed the planet Saturn, which may or may not be a portal to hell.
That's right, I remember that one.
Yeah, I remember. Alex is trying to present the cleaned-up version of himself here, so he leaves those explicitly crazy beliefs at home to avoid scaring off potential new customers.
Yeah.
This is just a ridiculous charade.
Yeah. Yeah, and even more so now because, like, when you say that now we're having this conversation, we're listening to this interview, and when he says the one that we agree is the cleaned up version, that sounds way crazier to me than if he's just like, oh yeah, the devil made me do it. I'm like, oh, thank God, the devil. That at least doesn't make sense, right? We can deal with stuff not making sense. Whenever you try and make sense out of it, that's fucking insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They fear death but want to control death.
Nope, stop right there.
Right.
You are done. It's the devil. Hooray. Yes, got it. I'm on board. We're back in.
So I'm gonna jump around here a little bit because there's just long stretches where Alex is rambling, and it's all just stuff we've talked about before.
Yeah.
So I'm going to jump here to the part where Alex is they're in a bit of a plug section. Because
Of course. Why didn't I assume that there would be a whole chunk?
Yeah, Tucker's asking about the supplements you sell.
Sure.
And then we're going to start this clip in Media Res, uh-huh, where Alex is talking about his book and how great it is.
Right.
And then this leads to the whiskey incident.
How do decent people prevail?
They believe they can push it by deception. That's why people are aware of why they're cutting off the fertilizer to collapse the third world, to then flood us with those giant populations they will then control and give voting rights to. And if you don't want to give them voting rights, then you're a racist. See, that's why the lockdown's biggest crime wasn't just the 80 plus million the UN estimates starved to death the last 3.5 years, on top of the normal 15 million they starve to death each year. You look this up. They then use those giant masses of people that are fleeing total collapse as their new political underclass. So that's why it's so vital to not just challenge the Great Reset and the New World Order eugenics operation of the transhumanists. It's vital to then give an alternative plan and have an alternative debate about that plan. And that's what the Great Awakening gets into.
So, but if you give up on that, you also sell bourbon.
Man, you are really being nice here today, Tucker.
And well, I hate selling products, but I like this product because I love the name.
Look at this right here. This, my friends, is a gift to your crew, because I know they drank. I had some drinks with them last night when we called Brian Stelter. But this,
some of the crew does drink. Yes, that's true.
So this is for you. We got a few other bottles for you out there. Something I can't even open this thing. This thing was sealed. Maybe it got locked on the airplane. Anyways, can somebody open this? I'm like here embarrassing.
No, hold on. I think the center thing. I don't travel with guns very often, so I don't know how to operate these.
I'm gonna smash this son of a bitch, yo.
There we go.
Son of a bitch. All right, goddammit.
Look at that. It doesn't come like this in stores. I'm going to kill the people that came up with this.
Swap that into the studio. We're rolling.
Tucker, don't kill me.
All right, we're rolling.
I don't think that plug should be that. Oh, my God. I got a lot of points when you get to here.
Okay, that was amazing. This whiskey does not come with a hatchet to open it or a black light. But if you, does it come with a black light?
No, but if you have one.
But if you have a black light. By the way, I don't think I've ever sold a product on the air, but I'm proud to say
we appreciate you supporting us.
Dude, come on. I'm totally all about it.
Come on. I think that it felt forced. You couldn't try a little harder to open this case?
Man.
It felt like, well, there's nothing, like I said, there's nothing really exciting happening. There's no, like, memeable moment or something.
Yeah.
And so it just feels like you kind of needed it. And the guy going like, we're rolling, it kind of makes it feel like this feels a little produced.
I mean, it's what it feels is the wrong amount of produced, though. It's the wrong amount. It's the amount of produced where somebody thought, hey, this is a good idea. They remembered times people have done bits similar to this in the past, and they assumed, fuck it, I'll just do one of those without ever actually doing any of the legwork.
It doesn't feel chaotic, really.
Nope.
It feels like it's supposed to feel chaotic, but it doesn't really. It's inorganic.
Yeah. If you want to do the bit like that, then you have to make it a bit.
Alex needs to cut the actual whiskey bottle open with the hatchet.
You need to do the fucking thing.
Yeah.
Man.
Drink the glass, Tucker.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, listen, if you want to go over the top, then do it.
Alex drunkenly throwing hatchets at his own camera on Christmas Eve.
Yes.
That's chaotic energy.
That's chaos.
This is not.
This is weak.
Yeah. So after they do their plugs, they get to talking about Biden and how he's an old loony man.
Oh, bad.
They don't get into the part about him plumping, though. He's bags of blood.
What? Oh, come on.
Oh, 10 bags
of
blood.
I want more blood bags.
He's plumping for sure.
Related material.
Turns out he walks around the White House naked and he's on drugs.
Fun.
I actually have a contact for you. I'd like to be able to hear it from them. But when this is over, I'll let you actually hear it from yourself. I think they'll tell you off record. I think they're willing to talk to you. But yeah, he is completely out of his mind. He wanders around for the entire 2.5 years. It's getting worse. Naked in the White House.
He's even more naked now.
In the middle of the night, doesn't know who he is. They have to give him a bunch of drugs, a bunch of amphetamines in the morning. Then they've got to drug him at night. Sometimes he's got to, though, he'll like be out for the morning for a while and then comes back out at night for a ball. That's when there's a real problem.
He is on drugs. I have established that. I know someone who witnessed it. I'm not guessing at this. I know someone personally who witnessed him.
Witnessed him.
Taking amphetamines. this was during the 2020 election.
So how's this going to go? That's huge. I know you don't play games. You've been proven.
No, I don't play games with this.
No games.
I would say it's a makeup.
No games.
Well, no, you said the NSA spying on me, high level, and then a month later they went, yes, we're spying on Tucker Carlson.
Yeah, I know.
So you don't make stuff up. And so what I'm saying here is Biden's a liability for him. Trump's a liability. What do? They have a right-winger, they'll claim, assassinate Biden. And they'll have a left-winger assassinate Trump. That then gets the country even in more of a fight against each other. And then they put in Gavin Newsom and, somebody like Mike Pence or who knows. But I really think the next 13 months is the most critical time, not just in American history, but world history.
He's plumping. He's taking amphetamines.
Sure.
He's walking around naked.
Right.
And so the globalists have got to kill him. And Trump, in order to get Gavin Newsom and Mike Pence, a unity ticket that no one is into.
I can't imagine something less interesting to the entirety of the United States than Gavin Newsom, Mike Pence, running your country.
Yeah. Mm. Also, Alex usually says Michelle Obama, but calls her Big Mike. Yep. And I think that maybe Alex isn't sure if that flies here. So he's going just with Gavin Newsom and Mike Pence.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So I feel like he's silly to be concerned. All sorts of bigotry clearly flies here. There's no need for decorum.
How alive is like what's the distance between like Weekend at Bernie's 2 and where we're at as far as
we're so far past it?
So I'm saying, okay, so Weekend at Bernie's 2,
Weekend at Bernie's looks like a Fred Astaire movie compared to
use hoodoo in order to get him to walk. So now we're just drugging Biden, right? But what,
also, Alex probably should cool out about people taking amphetamines.
I mean,
calm down.
I think we should all cool out about people taking amphetamines.
Well, especially Alex.
I mean, especially Alex. But yeah, I don't know. What do people think our president? Do people think our presidents have not always been consistently fucked up?
But also, I mean, amphetamines, if he takes amphetamines, that could just mean he's on a prescription for something that is medically, like, appropriate.
Sure.
You know, there's no reason to think, like, he's doing some illicit substance.
Or he fucking had somebody stop at a truck stop and he did some trucker speed. He's fine. He's fine. It's legal.
Wait, hold on.
Well, I mean, legal and illegal are different at truck stops. I don't know what they mean. But anyways, if the president wants to do some trucker speed to get through a fucking ball, that's fine.
Mm.
That's fine.
All right.
I'm fine with that.
So look, there might be a war.
Then you've got escalation. Remember a year ago, Biden said you can't give F-16s and Abrams tanks and cruise missiles to the Ukrainians. That's World War III. Now they're doing it. So as Russia wins that war, as Colonel McGregor documented a few months ago with you, NATO is escalating. Well, that leads right to nuclear war. So we're so close. That fundamentally makes me so mad. This transcends politics. Since when do Democrats love war? Since when do Democrats love the intelligence agencies? They love them now. And so really the Democratic,
so dark.
Just
so
like the
dark.
Republican Party is a beachhead for sanity and populism. It's not perfect, but it's a beachhead. The Democratic Party is totally turned over to evil.
Tucker, calm the fuck down.
Fuck
your
you.
Bow tie Iraq war shit.
I can't believe it.
So scandalized by Democrats supporting war.
Used to be this way. Back in the more genteel times.
Also, I believe that Biden said that troops on the ground was not that would be World War III.
Yeah,
Alex is changing that now in order to fit his purposes.
Yeah,
load of shit.
Yep.
So anyway, the 2024 election.
Oh boy, I can't believe we're still going.
We got Biden's going to be killed.
Sure.
Trump's going to be killed.
Sure.
Probably. But why even have the election, really?
Okay. This is a new angle I'm listening to.
Do you think that we're going to see on Election Day 2024 a ballot with Biden and Trump on it?
I've been saying I think they may assassinate him or claim they had a heart attack. And then, but I was thinking about each one individually. But I think when you said that a month ago, it was prescient. That's the next move. That's the if I get in their mind and I'm evil, and I'm Machiavelli. That is what they have to do.
But the election just forces the point. I mean, I guess I actually don't think that their preference is overt violence or anything that people notice. I mean, they much rather resort to stealth.
Who's they?
Covert rather than overt.
The globalists.
But I just think, you know, there's an election on the books and like something's going to happen.
Well, that's what you're saying. All their tactics of covert aren't working. So as we saw with JFK in 1963 in Dallas, they will go over. And so we have governors declaring emergencies to take the guns. All of that is, and then suddenly Democrats are against sanctuary cities when they're the ones saying Governor Hochul and the mayor of New York, come here. Now they're like, oh, we never said come here. I think it's dawning on Democrats they've been betrayed. And maybe there's some point where Democrats will have self-preservation, you know, the average voter, and say, no, we need to turn against this. This is totalitarian. This is dangerous. This is evil. But if that isn't the case, but here's the problem. Even if Democrats wake up, the system will know that from their internal polls. The establishment will. They're going to make a big move. And is that a full-out war with Russia? A full-out war with China? Is it them allowing the jihadi sleeper cells? They're in America that have torn across our border, that are waiting to let them activate. And I'm not saying our government controls them, but they've let other governments bring them in. And they've given funding to those governments. And now if we don't see strong signals against Iran, I don't want war with Iran. What I'm saying is strong signals telling Iran, do not fund terror groups. And if we don't see strong repudiation of Joe Biden, that will green light the security services to go ahead and let this new attack happen. And a massive jihadi attack in America could be the way to bring in martial law and cancel the election.
Okay, a lot going on there.
So I used to. So one of my favorite shows.
Yeah.
Wife and I watch The Magicians.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very plot dense, extremely plot dense, to the point where if you kind of like look away for about 5-6 seconds, you might learn, but look back and they'll be on a different show. Like it's that level of plot dense, right?
Right.
And sometimes when you're watching a new episode, they'll do the like last time on, and it won't be the strictly last time. It will be, hey, here's a piece of the plot from last season. We're in a different universe continuity now, but right. if you don't know that, if you don't remember it,
yeah.
you won't understand what's going on this episode.
Sure.
So, surprise, here it is. Caught up. Now we can watch the show. I feel like I missed the last on for that entire section of just like, wait. What season of the show are we on?
What are you confused about?
What season of the show are we
the
on where this
don't
universe...
Do, they don't want to do a big old assassination.
No. What are we talking about? The globalists don't want this now.
Yeah, of course not.
No. What was the last time? Give me the last time on. What's our continuity? Where are we at?
Last time on, Alex was trying to get everyone to start talking about how the globalists were going to kill Trump.
Right.
You know, we've seen that
right.
quite a bit.
Yes.
And I think maybe it's just not exciting enough. It's and not, so, like, Biden's going to be killed, too.
Sure. That's
but
fun.
Maybe that's not exciting enough either.
Yeah.
And so now we have all these machinations and plans of global wars and
yeah.
terrorist sleeper cells coming around to make it so we don't have an election.
Mm.
I don't know. I don't know about the last on.
Yeah.
There is no continuity to Alex, really. If you if you really break it down.
No.
But this is a kind of fun thing that probably will not come to pass.
Yeah.
And then we'll just forget that Alex made these predictions because he's a prophet.
Right.
You know?
Right.
You just forget about all these other things that he says are going to happen that don't happen.
When is the next time Trump and Biden will be in the same room together?
Debate night in prison. I don't know.
I'd be down for that.
That would be interesting.
That would be interesting.
So Alex just starts rambling a bit about
sure.
his values.
Uh-huh.
We're getting close to the dismount, and so Alex is kind of doing a blustery
sure,
bit of
sure,
a speech.
Sure.
The sky is the limit. So people need to be vigilant and understand that we want to let the system know we're aware. We want to promote the values of free speech and of family and of self-defense and of local control and of free market, rugged individualism and a competitive civilization and a colorblind society that Martin Luther King Jr. talked about. We need to go back to the things that made us great, that threaten the CCP and threaten the globalists of the UN, because they're selling tyranny and eating bugs and being locked down in your houses and forced injections and two men can have a baby. We're selling normal human biology and success and culture. And so I just think we have to give the alternate plan to their dystopia. We have to challenge their dystopia, but also give the alternate plan, which enough people aren't doing. But that's Trump's big sin, is his optimism. America's great. Everybody's beautiful. We have such potential. And as soon as the world heard America was open for business, we saw trillions flood instantly in, because our leaders had said America's not open for business. Invest in China and India and Mexico, where the globalists have middleman deals to get all the money and all the power instead of the people getting it. It was Henry Ford, wasn't a perfect guy.
Whoa.
But what about him?
He said the other
what didn't
auto
you
manufacturers,
like?
Curious.
This came out in
no, I want specifics from you.
Press suits, because you know, he didn't get in trouble. They did. They said to him, the other auto manufacturers, they said, why are you going to pay your employees three times what we do? And he said, because I don't want just rich people buying my cars. I want my employees to prime the market to buy it. They'll give me all the money back buying the Model T, and then that'll supercharge it. So that's the two different systems. Build this illustrious, incredibly exciting, roaring civilization of laissez-faire, or let these big guys that already made all the money centralize control, shut us all down and vertically integrate so they're in control, and then kill competition. So we have to kill the globalist program that's anti-free market, anti-capitalist. It's monopolistic. It's anti-human. It's a bunch of degenerate, inbred, third, fourth generation elites who didn't make all this money, who didn't create all this stuff. But
you didn't build your business.
We don't even get to take part in it while they take part in it and live like kings. So it's us or them, Tucker. And we've got to crush the globalists. We've got to crush the New World Order. We've got to challenge them, or they're going to destroy the planet.
I believe that.
You believe it? It's just that is his full response. I believe it. All that shit is meaningless lip service, mostly just muscle memory buzzwords that Alex has memorized to compile into fake-ass rants. Things sure went off the rails with the stuff about Trump and Henry Ford, but what I'm most interested in is the idea that Alex thinks he's helping propose an alternative system to the one that exists that's better. Take any issue and imagine what Alex's policy prescription would be to address the problem he has, and you immediately end up with a pile of corpses. Alex wants armed vigilantes to patrol the southern border and have the right to do whatever they need. Alex wants to expel populations of people who he feels shouldn't be in America. Alex doesn't believe that Muslims can possibly integrate into American society. Alex thinks that people should be forced to carry fetuses to term against their own will. Alex believes that LGBTQ folks don't have the right to exist in public and probably not in private. Alex believes that public health officials should be killed for unleashing a bioweapon on the planet. Alex doesn't have an alternative system. He has a hit list. Alex doesn't have a vision of a better future. He has fantasies of an authoritarian state where all power rests in the hands of straight white Christian men, and that authority is never questioned. Alex is complex in terms of his ability to wax on about nothing for long stretches of time, and he weaves in a lot of stupid sci-fi with his rants, but he's also pretty simple. He wants a chauvinist Christian ethno-state. At the core, that's really what it boils down to.
Yeah.
Also, Henry Ford was a fucking Nazi. And the whole story Alex is telling about him is a myth.
Yeah.
In reality, Ford raised wages for his workers because he was dealing with massive turnover problems. People kept quitting, and the hiring and training processes that were needed to fill those positions over and over again was too expensive for him to maintain. He raised wages to lure people into not quitting, which was successful. Also, in order to get this raise, employees had to submit to character assessments from Ford, who would send people to their homes to make sure they weren't drinking or gambling. In essence, Henry Ford enacted a social credit score with his employees, yeah. Which is the very thing Alex is pretending the globalists are doing now, yep. Which is ironic.
Yeah, the number of things that Henry Ford did that people who say Henry Ford was a genius.
Not a perfect guy.
If he were to do any of those things, they love those myths about. I heard the myth too. I heard the myth like, oh, it's a great business decision. See, I'll pay my employees enough to. And it's never like, actually, labor is a. You know, there's a fight to the fucking death with so many. Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one way of telling a story.
It's a business decision. It's not somebody had to die for it.
Yeah.
No.
So I don't believe that Alex is engaged in any productive way of proposing an alternative.
Yeah.
We have to promote an alternative system. No, shut you up. Don't. You want to repress people. You want to create a society that is much closer to the bad version we had in the past.
Yeah.
That's it. You're not interesting.
Yeah.
So we come towards the dismount here, and Alex is discussing some of his persecution, and I call tremendous bullshit on this.
Okay.
Again, I still have never figured out what your crime is, but you have been persecuted for something in an escalating way.
I got two subpoenas last week.
Subpoenas?
I got subpoenas on January 6th. Again, on a criminal investigation.
Well, you didn't do anything on January 6th.
And I got subpoenaed in Trump's criminal trial in Georgia.
On what ground? On what?
On what
and
grounds?
My lawyer called and said, what is this? And they said, well, we don't just want him as a witness. He's a subject.
But don't tell anyone. It's
I had
a secret.
To do with Georgia. But I'm not saying it's bad. They went and challenged it. That's their right. I mean, I went and protested there. So it's just pure intimidation.
So he got these two subpoenas last week, but they're the old ones that he got.
Yeah, aren't they the...
Yeah. He just got caught up in his own little web. He tried to be specific, which is always a mistake, because when he talks shit and he's like, I got two subpoenas last week, if he didn't give any specifics, he'd be able to maintain the illusion that did happen.
Anybody, you could have gotten a subpoena for anything. Sure. Anybody would buy any reason for you to get a subpoena.
Sure, why not?
You've lived an Alex Jones-like life.
Yeah, and don't tell anyone that your lawyer that you're talking about is fucking Norm Pattis.
Yeah.
Is unreliable as a narrator.
Brutal.
So we end the interview with Alex rambling a bit about his favorite subject, which is the Alamo, and how he thinks he's Colonel Travis.
I can't believe it.
You're our champion, Tucker, and there are other people, you know, lesser. I know you don't want to be the top dog, but you are. That's why you're under attack.
Most important human in the world.
You, I know no matter what happens to me, men and women are going to continue the fight forward into the future. But this is an Alamo situation. I'm not evacuating. I'm not leaving. I'm not going.
How'd they do at the Alamo? Do you remember?
Everybody got killed.
Oh, okay.
but that example led to a big yeah, you know, my mom's family raised Colonel Travis's son. And on my dad's side, too, they were heavily involved. First, Texas families. We have, like, Mexican land grants for our property. We still have Mexican land we paid for, 12 cents an acre, like 1825.
in East Texas. You know, you come visit. So it's not as cool as your place, but it's pretty cool. And the last letter he wrote on that piece of wallpaper was to one of my great grandfathers in Gonzales, Texas, saying, please take care of my little boy. But Travis knew he was going to die. But he was like, I got 10,000 troops coming in on our 200 and something. We're going to give them one hell of a fight and kill a bunch of them before they can get up north for the main battle. And they killed thousands, you know, 3,000, it's estimated, from memory, Mexican troops. And so that'd be an honor to have like 10,000 troops coming at me and I'm in the Alamo. I don't have a death wish, but man, it gets me high as a kite. And so I'm not doing what Colonel Travis did. Only reason they got beat is they ran out of ammo, basically. They had powder, but no more ball. And they were fighting with swords at the end. So those are tough men, and I don't even measure up to them. But I want to try to measure up. And so it's very exciting. It's instinctive. It's spiritual to be defending humanity and prosperity
or pretending
and justice.
To. Yeah,
it's
right.
Globalist child trafficking monsters, the open border, all this evil. I mean, so my cells tell me to do this. My guts, my sinews say you're ordered to do this. And I don't feel good unless I do it. And so the bigger the attacks get, it's the old World War II saying when the planes were over the target, they didn't really have radar, but they knew the bases and the factories had flak. So they're shooting at them with artillery. Anti-aircraft artillery, so you flew into that. And so me, the best place I want to be is in the flak, but I also hate the flak because we can blow up and we're not in the fight anymore. So there's that paradox, but 90% of me wants to be in the flak. 10% says maybe you should steer a little around it because you don't want to get knocked out. And until just a few years ago, I felt really bad because it didn't seem the paradigm had been shattered and people didn't actually read the globalist documents. Now there's been a paradigm shattering and I'm almost obsolete, Tucker. And as soon as that happens, as soon as I see another couple hundred more prominent people that actually know what's going on, we've already reached chain reaction point, I'm going to hang it up and disappear like Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Alex Jones, thank you. Thank you. What a great conversation.
Thank you, brother.
I really appreciate it.
Thanks for your courage, Tucker.
Thank you.
Love your crew. Great energy.
Thank you.
Americana, baby.
Americana, baby. And then he's out. And then it's over.
Oof. Yep. The two of them together are disgusting on a like existential level.
Yeah.
Like there's something truly gross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is it's interesting in a non-interesting way. The dynamic brings out blandness in Alex.
Yeah. I mean there's almost a gothic horror to it of like This thing that should be they both should be not what they are.
Right.
They're like uncanny human like people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're like the us. They're like us, you know? Mm-hmm. They're like the sleep versions of us.
Uh-huh.
Right? And then they learned speech.
Sure.
And they can kind of sound like us, but whenever they talk, shit is fucking terrifying.
It is. Yeah. But it's presented in a way that is not terrifying and kind of banal and boring and completely disorienting. These are adults laughing about prank calling Brian Stelter drunk the night before. This is ridiculous. They expect to be taken seriously on all of these like completely fucked up societal ideas that they have.
Totally.
Meanwhile, they have the maturity of me at 19.
Yeah. It's all about borders and to spend all of our lives in. Nobody should be able to come in and take my shit. Also, let's just remember that the greatest heroes break into somebody else's home and then heroically die fighting to the death to stay there.
Yeah. And are running from a life that they ruined drunken absolutely. Con man loser.
Yes. Yes. Every aspect of this, of our lives, is a weird reenactment of the ironic version of the Alamo.
And don't forget it.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, I think that this interview, not super enlightening
right.
in any way. I think, I mean, if I had to pull, like, moments that were like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
There's the, you can't fly a BLM flag unless you live in East St. Louis.
Segregation's now segregation forever. That one's bananas.
That,
yeah, that is bananas.
Is something that I'm kind of shocked.
You really want segregation?
I'm shocked that they articulated that.
Like
that
I always thought, I always got segregation like as like a economic thing. Like, oh, I want to steal money from people. I didn't know you actually wanted it. That sucks. Gross.
It does suck.
Gross.
The part about the predictions I expected that was going
sure.
to come up.
Yeah.
I thought it would be a little better done.
Victory lap was going to happen.
Yeah, but yeah. I really thought that like. There would be more work done to actually make the argument as opposed to just like show a
you mean Tucker
40
was going
second
to do...
sizzle reel and then be like, oh my God, you're a prophet. I thought that was a little lazy.
You mean somebody on Tucker's staff would have been forced
right.
to put together a sizzle reel as
right.
opposed to using one of Alex's
or,
own sizzle reels.
Or providing
reel.
Any kind of context to
sure.
what these things that are being said are.
Sure.
And there'd be some more convincing. I mean, obviously,
yeah.
The attempt to make it more convincing would undercut the entire argument, which
naturally.
Is why they didn't do that.
Right.
But I still think it's a little bit lazy.
No, I get what you're saying.
And then the Brian Stelter, the breakdown of it is, I thought that was out of place.
That got too weird.
It seems like, to me, there's a misuse of time. But also, I'm really interested in the raw footage. I would be interested in that because Alex, I believe, said that like it's a 2-hour interview. There's
yeah.
only an hour and a half. There's very clearly cuts in it.
Yeah.
And so I'd be curious what those were because, you know, we certainly have the legacy of his Yay interview where like a week later there was a bunch of shit that came
yeah.
out that was pretty fucked up. I'd be curious about that.
I would be curious if Stelter recorded that call.
Yo. Man.
We should get that.
Stelter, buddy.
Stelter!
Our old friend.
Come on, you have to... if Alex calls you drunk on, like, what, Thanksgiving or something, then you record the call,
yeah.
right?
But that's why you bum rush it with the Tucker's producer calling and then, hey, hello, it's Alex. I don't know.
Okay.
I find myself underwhelmed a little bit.
Yeah.
At the same time, like, exasperated.
Yeah.
I think that if there wasn't so much territory that we've covered at length before, I would find this to be at least a little bit more fruitful.
Mm.
Like, there would be interesting things as opposed to just, like, this is just rote repetition of ton of shit that he says all the time.
Yeah.
And that maybe is a function of our unfortunate familiarity, that this becomes incredibly boring.
I mean, I think there's definitely that. But I mean, I think it's not our fault, you know? And I think there's something to be said about the game's over, you know? The fourth quarter's been played,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, we're not the ones who are letting him back in the game, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, I'm all about, yeah, but...
I think Tucker could have probably had a much more interesting interview with Alex a year ago
yeah.
or something. But now it's just...
Or a much better interview a year from now. We're
yeah.
in this space right now that it's so, like, everybody in the world is feeling a cocoon year of, like, something in the next blah... is going to make the next blah, blah, blah so much different. But nobody has any idea.
And it does feel like, not because it's an election, but just
no.
because of the dynamics that surround an election, it does feel like that is a ticking clock.
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't feel like the election will be the thing.
No.
You know, like
everything around it.
There's so many things. Yeah. Everything around. I would give anything for just an election. That would be a delight.
Mm.
Can you imagine? How do you feel about Bob Dole and fucking Bill Clinton, Dan? Who do you think's going to win that one?
Bob Dole.
When did people live? What did they live like before you could just go out on TV and scream that the fucking government's going to kill your grandma tomorrow?
Right.
What was it like?
Or Vivek doing great,
yes,
great replacement
great
shit.
Great replacement shit. What is that like? What was it like before this?
Everything is just fucked.
Amazing.
Well.
All right.
Congratulations, Tucker. You did something. I will say, more prestigious than interviewing the guy who claims he blew Obama in a limo.
True.
That,
true.
This is a step up from that.
A sad truth.
Maybe a step down from interviewing extremist heads of state around the world.
Could be.
But you did what you needed to do.
Could
be. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll be back, Jordan.
Indeed.
But until then, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep, we're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's @knowledge_fight.
Yep, we'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo, I'm Leo, I'm DZX, Clark. These guys suck. I don't know. I got nothing. I'm exhausted.
Woo, yeah, woo, yeah, woo.
And now here comes the sex robot.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.